about.
Yeah, we in here. We in this thing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
And I didn't go around seeking out every young person for sexual needs that I've helped. There are many that I didn't have. I hardly had any contact with.
That sounds kind of crazy.
I am Vartan Asnayan and I got swag.
Where are you from?
I'm from Hollywood, California, Yerevan.
And why'd you like lead cops on this chase?
Because I got swag, I wanted to make it look good.
Your friend is completely retarded, you know that?
Hey, man, my little brother's retarded. Don't use that word in derogatory fashion. Like, I don't have a retarded brother.
Sid, you suck.
And now. Okay, all right, so that's where we'll draw the line.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show.
What? Kevin is there? What?
How dare you?
I thought you would have forgotten how to get to the station by now.
I got here a full 45 seconds ago.
Yeah, I saw him walk in. All confident, like, yep, I'm here.
Yeah, how about that?
But what are the chances after a couple of weeks away, Lisa, that Kevin's going to wake up and he's going to have his keys, he's going to find his pants,
key
he's going to get his key card.
Yeah.
Exactly. Remember how to get to the station.
It all happened.
I'm
did
stunned.
You do a test run yesterday?
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, I did. Yesterday afternoon.
You slept in the building last night, just to be sure. Didn't you? And then what's this BS? Beer Mug still works at K-Rock?
Yeah, that's still happening.
How did that happen?
Well, I guess everybody was away, so nothing changed.
So no one was around to fire him?
Yeah, I guess that's how that worked.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's disappointing. That's a bad way to start the second half.
Well, that's the way it goes, man.
And how are you, Lisa?
I'm fabulous.
How was France?
I was in Paris for 9 days. It's delicious.
Paris, nice.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just, I was telling Bean, it blows my mind. I know this is silly, but that you can walk out of, because we stayed in an apartment, so you can walk out and then there's a bread store across the street and I can buy shoes next door and I can go down 2 doors and buy cheese. Like, there's everything within a block.
For the truly lazy?
I don't understand.
I really need shoes, but I'm not willing to go more than a block.
Well, I could go 2 blocks, but I'm just saying, like, everything.
It's all right there.
They have a farmer's market where you can buy your underwear.
At a farmer's market.
At a farmer's market. It was like 3 days
a week.
Was it made
out of peaches and pears? What the hell?
They had this 4-block-long, both sides of the street farmer's market with every. You could buy your seafood and your underwear. And, yes, shoes.
I need a place where I can buy my seafood and my underwear at the same place.
I was
That's
thrilled.
Very important.
I'm sure that Paris is excited that your takeaway is that you can buy underwear on the streets. That's what their great city is known for.
Well, it's pretty, too.
Sure, there's that.
It's got it pretty, yeah.
Well, we are back. We are live. This is an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Today is Monday, the 9th of July. Of course, a lot of stories happened while we were gone, so I'm going to give you your choice of two to get us going here today.
All right.
Both of which happened during vacation.
Two.
One is... you want the second one?
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. The first one is...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
First one is man returned used enemas to CBS regularly, says cops.
Oh...
The other is woman accused of trying to cut off husband's penis during oral sex ordered to stand trial.
Well, number two is so done.
That's played.
Don't you think? Yeah. Been there, done that.
I don't know. I mean, we may eventually need both. But I think for right now, we need the return.
Yes. Did you say enemas. Regularly?
Regularly, yes. This is a man in, I wonder what state something crazy like this
Florida.
Would happen. Oh, that's right. It was Florida. Jacksonville, Florida. Sheriffs there have launched an investigation after personnel from the CVS drugstore alleged that a man was repeatedly returning used enema saline laxatives to the store. The suspect returned the 6-pack containers of enemas between April and June, according to the release. CVS employees told police they initially reshelved the items during this period, not realizing they had been used.
No.
That's
apparently
what he wanted.
Not even marked down because they were used.
Yes. They thought the guy just bought them, took them home, and said, oh, I guess I don't need this after all. I can poop on my own, and then returned them. But in fact, he had taken out each of the enemas, used them, then put them back in the container and glued the box shut.
How many enemas does one guy need?
Well, that's another question,
isn't
it?
Isn't there another problem there that maybe should be
Eventually, in early June, an employee named Dustin McDonald found it bizarre that the man who he recognized from previous visits was again bringing back the same item and decided to investigate. That's when he opened up the box of Enema bottles to find that they were all filled with fluid, and the boxes had been re-glued to make it look like they'd been open.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
So he starts opening other boxes on the shelf and finds out that all of the enemas in each of the three boxes on the shelf were previously used. So they don't know how many got sold out the door, but I assume that people would bring
them back. Can you imagine? I assume they wouldn't.
I'd be so embarrassed.
Wouldn't you be just... I mean, at one point, of course you would want to take them back, but then on the other point, you're taking back an enema.
Yeah.
Yeah, used enema from somebody else.
You had to buy it, and that's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. But then, two, how do they know you aren't the one
who used it? Good point.
That's gross.
CVS says that they are, at an abundance of caution, proactively contacting 21 other individuals that they confirmed bought enemas during the suspect's alleged returning spree and is encouraging other potential purchasers of the used products to come forward. What's this guy's damage, though? What's his deal? Is it a turn-on or what?
He's getting some kind of thrill.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because
he stands in the corner and waits for people to buy him.
He bought it. He's texting his friends. He bought it. He waits around for weeks to see if he brings it. He didn't bring it back.
So good times and good morning.
All right. Thank you. Picked the right story, I think. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
Well, that's a really hard question because
it's just we are going to talk to Sam the Armenian Comedian. That's the way we want to start things.
There you go.
Well, when you find out that he and his band are on a world tour.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're on a world tour.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean exactly? Because we know that world tour to you and I means somebody's going to tour the world.
Yes.
Right.
But for Sam, we don't know what that means.
Okay.
I guarantee it's only one country. That's his world tour, is just America and probably just the Southern California region.
You guys are shit.
How dare you? Bad 4th of July calls. I don't know if you saw the story out of, San Diego?
Yep.
They had a, 15-second firework show.
What?
Just all went up at once. Boom.
An 18-minute show went up 5 minutes early and all at once.
Oh, no.
For once, I am not involved in a fireworks problem. So I'm very happy to say that. But we're going to take your bad 4th of July calls. We're going to talk to Ken Block about his Gymkhana video, which is just absurd. Mm-hmm. This guy is ridiculous. I don't know if you saw him at the X Games over the 4th of July, but he's unbelievable. We have thanks for that tweet, Bean, it turns out.
How dare you?
Of course we do.
How dare us? How dare you, sir? We only do this when our hand is forced.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
When you tweet bad enough stuff, we to make the universe even, we have to knock the crap out of you. And then everything's normal again. So stop tweeting bad stuff.
Chip, I can't imagine what you're referring to.
Chip gave me a heads up last night on Twitter. She's like, just be aware that you might need some more vacation after this. Because it's something. We have LaQuisha on today's program. Talking about Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which I was unlucky enough to catch about 10 minutes of. And she's not going to be happy because, boy, does stuff not happen. That sure doesn't happen. Things don't happen. We are going to talk. The King of Mexico apparently went to the premiere of Spider-Man.
Oh, that's cool.
So we've got some interviews from him. And we have tickets for Comic-Con, which is this weekend.
That's been sold out for a year.
It has been sold out since three Comic-Cons ago. I don't know how they work the tickets, but I've never seen anything like it. But Comic-Con is sold out. It is this weekend in San Diego, and we're going to be there, and we'll give you some tickets to join us.
Awesome.
So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 5:51.
Welcome to an all-new Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us in studio now. Ralph, you must be so sad right now.
Why is that?
Because you finally got the Kevin and Bean Show the way you've always wanted it. No Kevin, no Bean, and then we screwed it up by coming back.
No, we still played tapes of you, though. It wasn't like you weren't there. We'd listen to old bits that weren't very good as opposed to the new bits that aren't very good.
So it wasn't satisfying for you at all, as you hoped it might be.
No, it's like, too bad. You want fresh poop or you want old poop? So basically was the question.
You're happy we're back. That's nice.
I'm not happy you're back. Happy Lisa May's back.
Thank you, and it's nice to be back. Nice to see you, Ralph.
Thank you.
But I don't know about who you two are or what's going on. Let's talk about the showbiz news. Top 10 movies at the box office since it is Monday morning. As predicted, the Spider-Man reboot was a killer over the weekend, taking first place at the box office with $65 million in its first weekend. Of course, it opened up on Tuesday before the 4th of July holiday, so if you count in all of the money it made since it was first released, that's $140 million since it opened.
Wow.
Strong opening for The Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be a profitable film for them.
They still got a ways to go, but I think it will be. Number two at the box office, Ted came in second with $32.6 million. A great second weekend for Ted. Brave was third, Savages and Magic Mike, top five at the box office this weekend.
Let me interrupt for a moment, Ralph, like I do.
Sure.
We weren't here when your smash number one hit movie, Ted, debuted. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And second of all, how much more than was expected did Ted end up making? I mean, it's a juggernaut. I read yesterday that it's on track to end up making like $250 million or something silly.
They're predicting it'll probably be the biggest money-making R-rated comedy ever.
Wow.
For a non-sequel.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it broke the record for an opening weekend already. It beat Hangover's record, which was $45 million. Ted did 54 in its opening weekend.
How about
that? Is Seth just over the moon?
Yeah, he's thrilled. And everyone involved with the project, many of them are friends of mine, are just shocked. And no one expected it to do as well as it's doing.
Was it the dad in the beginning, would you say?
That's what most people are saying. The insiders are saying the guy in the first 10 minutes of the film really set the tone for the rest of the money-making weekend. So, yeah.
So you knew it was good, but even you're surprised how successful it is, right?
No, I was talking to Seth. We did a little interview on the air while you guys were gone, and we all knew it was funny. We knew it from the minute we read the script and we did the table read. We knew it was going to be funny. We had no idea whether anybody was going to go see it or not. That was the question
mark.
Then for that to happen, and then... for the critics to be as positive as
they were nice about it?
Oh, they loved it.
No kidding.
Loved it, yeah. Lots of shocks all the way around. But it's great news, and it's great news for Universal, who Seth is quick to say was the only company who would step up and spend that kind of money, $50 million on a comedy, is almost unheard of because that's just not the way it's done. You spend money on a comedy because it's cheap to make. And you get a lot of money on the other end of it,
right?
A special effects R-rated comedy,
yeah. Not to mention, and it's about a bear, really. So, can you imagine?
Well, it's not about a bear. It's about a bear that is a special effect process in every scene with the CGI. It becomes enormously expensive. Then it's R-rated, so you're eliminating half of your potential audience because you have to be over 17 years old to watch the film. It was not a good investment on paper. But Universal took a shot on Seth, and they're reaping the rewards now. So,
well, I'm happy for y'all.
It is I had very little to do with it, obviously, but it's a real success story for everybody else who's involved. So I'm happy to see those guys do well. Tyler Perry's Madea was sixth on the list of top 10 movies this weekend. I'm also in the first 10 minutes of that, too.
Is that right?
Check that out. Huh. Madea's Witness Protection. Yeah. Madagascar 3, I'm a voice, of course, in that. Katy Perry, I am Katy Perry, and Katy Perry's part of me. Moonrise Kingdom. And To Roam With Love were the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Sad news, Oscar-winning actor Ernest Borgnine passed away yesterday of kidney failure.
Is he the dude with the big nose?
The dude with the big nose.
Is that him?
Ernest Borgnine. He's got a nose.
I think that's who you're thinking of. He's the McHale's Navy guy, Kevin, if that's who.
With the big nose.
Big head, big nose.
Big burly guy. Yeah, it's in
thick eyebrows.
Geez, I don't even know what movie to tell you.
He had a nose? What are you talking about?
He was a big burly guy, thick, heavy set guy. Played a lot of macho dudes.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah. McHale's Navy was his big TV series. You ever see that?
No, I don't think so.
No? I don't know. Like, I'm an idiot. It was a big hit series. It was on forever. I mean, you could have run across it.
I loved McHale's Navy.
Yeah, see? Even Beer Mug liked it.
Then I'm happy with my answer.
95 years old. What a great life and a great career. His acting career spanned 61 years. He, before he was a TV star with McHale's Navy, he was a big movie star, too. He won a Best Actor Oscar, actually, in 1955 for the movie Marty. He was also from Here to Eternity, another great film. Worked constantly. I guess most kids know him as the voice of Mermaid Man in SpongeBob SquarePants.
Really?
Yeah, did a lot of voiceover stuff, too. So, big win. Very talented guy, and by all accounts, one of the nicest guys in show business.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Well, he's good. He's a nice person.
Not anymore.
Feel bad for him. The Kardashians are breeding again. Kourtney gave birth to her second child yesterday at Cedars-Sinai. She and Scott Disick, her boyfriend, who already have a son named Mason, now have a baby girl named Penelope. Penelope Scotland Disick is her name. And she's hairy. I have no idea.
Everyone's a dumb whore.
Sienna Miller, she had a baby too.
Okay.
She welcomed her first child into the world with her fiancé Tom Sturridge over the weekend. No one's releasing any details about the sex, name, or weight of the baby, but because it came out of Sienna, it's hot. That's all we know. this makes me sad. Leonardo DiCaprio, who previously had helped promote the Toyota Prius,
right,
is now getting on board with the Fisker Karma.
What is that
company?
Isn't that the Bad News Bieber mobile?
This is the hybrid company that it's been struggling. They sell real high-end hybrid cars. Like for $100,000, you get one of these sports cars that is an electric gas hybrid.
Right.
This is the one Justin Bieber drives around at 100 miles an hour on the 101 freeway and gets pulled over and ticketed for, as he did last weekend. Leonardo DiCaprio apparently getting on board with trying to promote this new car because I think they gave him one. So he's going to be doing that. But I just hate to see anything involving Justin Bieber get any sort of positive attention. He was driving. You know, his Fisker Karma, this car, is chrome. The whole thing is chrome.
Wow.
He looks like a Cylon. He drives around looking like a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica. And then he complains when the paparazzi follow him.
Yeah, could it be a bigger look at me?
And that's why he said he was going 100 miles an hour on the 101, because the paparazzi were following him.
What a dumb douchebag.
But he did get cited for that, and hopefully we'll get convicted. And then, the death penalty will follow, so wait and see.
But prison rape first, though, right, Ralph?
Well, you know, at a woman's prison, I mean, it's going to be hard to find anybody who's going to rape him, I think. That's where he's going to have to go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Brian Dennehy, 74 years old today. Actor Chris Cooper turns 61. Actor Jimmy Smits, 57 years old. Tom Hanks is 56. Boy, a lot of good actors born today. Courtney Love celebrates her 48th birthday. Musician Jack White is 37. Actor Fred Savage from The Wonder Years turns 36. Dan Estrin, singer of Hoobastank, is 36 years old. Isaac Brock, singer and guitarist for Modest Mouse, turns 37. And Mark Almond of Soft Cell. Yeah, Tainted Love, baby. We're going to have to work in a little Tainted Love later on. 55 years old today. You guys were on vacation. You missed our big tribute to Spandau Ballet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Wow, I sure wish we could go back in time.
Luckily for you, you're here in time for our Soft Cell tribute. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up his beat.
K-Rock Road Trip number one, grand prize drawing. As I understand, this paperwork in front of me is going to be next hour. We're going to send somebody to see Fun, period, at the Cosmopolitan Poolside in Las Vegas, and also unveil some more details about Road Trip Stop number two. That is on the way. By the way, didn't we start the beginning of this year with Road Trips 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I think
so. How
are
we back to 1 and 2 again?
I think we have a problem numbering.
I think so. I think you're right.
Over the vacation, I went to the World Series of Poker again, which is always fun. That's always fun. And the main World Series of Poker that they show on ESPN is a $10,000 buy-in that just started a couple days ago. But I go to the earlier ones. They have like 3-day tournaments. It doesn't cost quite so much to get in because I don't who's got 10 grand laying around that you can gamble with.
Somebody who wins as much poker as you claim to should.
Well, I am saving for next year. But the point is that the tournament that I got in was $1,500.
Oh, that is different.
It's still a lot. Don't get me wrong. $1,500 is a lot of money for an entrance into a poker tournament. And you're playing against almost 3,000 people. So the chances that you're going to do well are pretty slim.
Right.
So so I go there and I start playing at noon on a Saturday. And I play till 2 and then we get a break. And then I play till 4 and then we get a break. And then I play till 6 and then we get dinner. And it's all about the stacks of money. You want to get a lot of stacks going into the finals so that you have a lot of money so that you can battle for the championship. But there are a lot of people there, a lot of pros that play these tournaments and stuff as tune-ups or whatever for their main thing. Mm-hmm. And they're way better than me. So I'm kind of intimidated by the fact that I'm in this gigantic convention center with thousands of tables. And it's just me and, you know, you try to make your stack grow. You try to, and to do that, you have to bet it. You have to actually you know, possibly
risk it. Yeah.
Risk it. You possibly lose it. So you watch your stack very closely. Okay, I have $20,000 in chips. This is great. Okay, I have $30,000 in chips. This is great. And it doesn't relate to money at all, what you win. It's just that's how much the chips are worth. So, and then, oh, I took a bad beat. Oh, now I only have $10,000 in chips. So it's all about the chips. The whole time you're concentrating on the chips, the chips, the chips. So the first day was noon to 2 a.m.
Wow.
Now, if you know anything about me, I'm not great at paying attention.
This requires concentration.
Yes. Every single time you you could possibly be out, basically, if you do the wrong thing. So I'm drinking Red Bull like a madman. And most of the time, people who come up and recognize me from the radio show are super nice. And this guy came up when I risked half of my stack and lost it. So I don't have very much money at this point on the table. So the guy comes up and he goes, "Hey, dude, what's going on?" And I said, just playing. The guy was really bummed. Just playing World Series of Poker. "I thought you'd have more chips." And I said, "Me too. Go away." You know, just being funny. So he walks away, and I work and work and work. And it's 8 p.m., 10 p.m., midnight, 2 a.m.
Jeez.
Finally, I've got, you know, a decent amount of money again, and I get to day two, which is, I don't know, maybe 300 people out of 25, out of almost 3,000 people.
That's impressive that you got to day two.
Right, make it to day two. So I go back to my room at 2 a.m. and I'm exhausted. I get to bed. I get up. I go back at 1 p.m. to start playing again. I start playing at 1 to 3, and the guy finds me again. He's searching for me now. "Hey, how's it going?" And I was like, "I'm fine. Thank you." And so I play from 2 to 4 and 4 to 6. The guy finds me again. "Hey, what are you doing?" And at this point, I'm just thinking, you know, I don't drink when I play the World Series of Poker because at this point, I'm going to win some money already. I'm already in the money. But now I'm starting to give myself pep talks like there's only, you know, 75 people left. And I'm one of them.
That's impressive.
Right. So why couldn't I be the one that win? That's the thinking that takes over my brain. Forget mm-hmm. that I've already beat this many people. Look at how many people are left, and I'm one of them. And I could pass them. So now I'm really starting to pay attention. Before I was working, you know, I was paying attention. But now I'm really paying attention because you could win, I don't know, $750,000 or something.
Jeez.
So I think to myself, okay, I look at my chips. Oh, I got this stack of chips. I'm going to have to make a move soon so that I can have enough so that I can get into the finals against. And there's always people who are intimidating that come up next to you mm-hmm. and they sit down and they put their chips next to you. So now you've got your stack of chips of, say, $80,000. To you, that's a lot. And somebody will come sit down next to you with $300,000 worth of chips. And so then now you're intimidated all over again. So you go, "Oh man, look at how much that guy has. But I could do it. There's no way I could do this. I could totally," and I just give myself a pep talk and say, "I could do this." So dinner day two, I go and I pep talk myself to death. I'm going to make a run and I'm going to really make this happen. So I come back from dinner. I sit down at my table. They deal the cards. I get ace king suited, which is the second best hand that you can get. And I'm thinking to myself, this is fantastic.
This is it, baby.
Yeah, because other people are betting, and that's the best case scenario. You want other people to bet when you have a great hand because that way there's more money out there. And there's probably $200,000 out in the pot.
Wow.
And I haven't bet yet. And I have ace king suited, which is fantastic, ace king of hearts. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing the math. You look at how much money is out there and the percentage of chance I'm going to win. This is my move. This is the one. If I make this move, I'm in the top 10 without trying.
Unbelievable.
Right. So I reach down to grab my chips and I hear, "What are you doing?" It's that dude again. And I say, "Leave me alone. I'm playing." And it wasn't that dude again. And it was a guy going, "Those are my chips."
Yay! What?
So I said, "What?" And then I got that flush like that comes over you like, okay, what's he talking about? And then I look around the table. No one. I recognize no one.
You're sitting at the wrong table.
I sat down at the wrong table.
No.
And I played like three hands with this guy's chips.
Oh, what the hell?
It was like, so now I'm just thinking, oh my God. And the guy's like, those are my chips. What are you doing? And he's making a big stink. And the dealer calls floor. And you never want to hear that because now that's the manager that comes over and he has to figure out what to do with the deal or whatever. If there's a question that the dealer can't handle. So they come over. And now I feel like a total asshole because chips, it's all about your chips. And I'm playing somebody else's.
Are you giving him more chips?
Can't do that. Oh, you mean am I winning? No, I just that was the second or third hand. I was going to push all in. I was going to risk all of his chips. So I look around. Nah, no, it's not. And then they go, are you even in this tournament? And I said, yes, I'm in. Now I'm getting angry because at myself, but yeah. Angry.
So that's embarrassing.
I have to show them my paperwork and everything. And they go, you're at table 43 here. That's you're supposed to be at table 42. So I had to stand up and. So now they have a meeting where they go, can he continue? What do we do with the hand that we just dealt? Well, we're going to have to call it a missed deal. Can he still continue on his? And they have this big meeting, and then they finally allow me to play my hand at the other table. So now I'm sitting at the very next table to where this
with
happened.
With that same hand?
No. That got that.
Oh,
got,
yeah, yeah. Okay.
But I'm sitting at the very next table, so everybody at the table that I was sitting at playing the wrong guy's money was... You know, looking at me and
they witnessed
the whole
thing.
Table was laughing, and I'd see them look over at me, and they were all laughing. And I just thought, "Oh my God!"
Doesn't something like this happen to you
all
every
the time?
Time
I don't
you
know
play?
Why.
They had to stop the play. For
yes,
you.
They had to stop the not the tournament, but that table had to get the floor over, and then he had to talk about what to do about that hand. And everybody else was like, "But I lost. I put money in there." So they made everybody take the money back. Then they took me over to my real table. They double-checked my license and all of my...
I mean, this was a big deal.
It's a big deal, yeah. And I've been sitting there playing. Now the other guy whose money I'm playing is livid. He's so angry that the tournament would let that happen.
Yeah.
And I'm now sitting at the other table, and they're laughing at me, and I'm just thinking to myself, holy God, I did it again. Last year I walked away. I thought I lost. And
that's right. Oh, that's God. What it was.
And they ran after me, and I had won that hand. And
you
didn't
were a total dick, too.
Yeah,
right?
I was. on that one, I was. This one, though, I realized immediately, like, oh, my God. That was, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I kept saying to him, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I went out a couple of hands later. I just.
Oh, no.
I couldn't do it.
So your mojo was broken.
It was. I did well. I ended up making a pretty decent amount of money.
Really?
Yeah, I made like $5,000.
That's awesome.
Which is good. But why does it always have to come with that kind of embarrassment?
Because you're Kevin.
But...
Kevin, God damn it.
How come I have to sit down and play? No one else did that. There
were whole entire tournament.
There were 3,000 people in that tournament. No one else played somebody else's chips.
Do you just want to, like, sink through the floor?
Yeah, I wanted to say, hey, you ever want to get away? You know those commercials?
Yeah.
So I did all right, but it wasn't...
Oh, that's our Kevin.
It wasn't the guy yelling at me that I thought it was, and I was sitting at the wrong table playing the wrong chips.
We expect nothing less.
So, good time.
It is Comic-Con 2012 this week down in the Whale's Vagina. The Kevin and Bean Show is going to be broadcasting live. If you are going to be down there, we're going to be at the Hard Rock Hotel on Friday morning, broadcasting live with lots of special guests for Comic-Con. Speaking of Comic-Con, tickets you can win for the convention hall coming up later on today's show. And The Amazing Spider-Man is the biggest movie in the world right now. And King of Mexico, you went to the red carpet world premiere.
I did.
Yeah.
Amazing. Beer Mug was out Spider-Man. Of town, so... oh, come on. Beer Mug was out of town, so I stepped up and said, I haven't done this in a while, so let's do this.
Picked up the microphone, headed down to the world premiere, and got ready to go.
Dave, yeah. The King of Mexico, and I'm here at the Spider-Man premiere in Westwood. There's a lot of celebs that are supposed to be here. It's the final... there's a lot of celebs that are supposed to be here, so let's see how many I could get and talk to. This might be good. I just hope I'm better than Beer Mug.
Nope.
So far,
good start, right?
I'd say no.
You're already better than Beer Mug.
Yeah, at least I'm testing the levels, you know. See if I'm recording.
Where are you? With that energy level, I'm not sure you're better than anyone.
Well, no. I mean, you understand. I'm talking, you know, to the floor.
Your floor wouldn't hurt you. So the first person that comes along on the red carpet is Dustin Brown from the Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah.
So Dave, of course, is talking. I think the cup was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, the cup was there. Yeah.
They brought the Stanley Cup to the actual screening.
I'm here with the LA Kings captain, Dustin Brown. How's it going, Dustin?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, I see that you're here with the Stanley Cup.
Does this count as your day with the Stanley Cup?
No, thankfully it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. All right, so that's good. It doesn't count as his day.
All right.
And then he follows up.
Now, I work for Kevin and Bean. I don't know if you know them, but Kevin's a big Kings fan, and a couple years ago, the Cup came to the station.
I like how Dave throws me under the bus immediately.
He asked him, no kidding.
He asked him one question, and now he's trying to pin the history of the Kings on me.
And he touched it. Now, do you single-handedly blame him for the Cup taking so long to get to L.A.?
What was that, 3 years ago? I think they've been trying for 45, so I'm pretty sure he's off the hook.
There you go. I'm off the hook. There you go. That's what I'm talking
Kiss
about.
Ass. There are a lot, Kiss ass Dustin Brown.
There are a lot of rules for the Cup, and one of them is that you can't touch it. But I think it's if you're a player, I think the rules are for the players.
I don't know, I think you're right. Nice try, Dave.
All right, nice try. So, Reese Evans, is that how you say his name?
He's
the guy that plays the green...
the lizard.
He's the lizard, yeah.
I'm here with actor Reese Evans. Now, what was tougher, the makeup for being the lizard or being in Little Nicky?
Okay. That's a good question.
That's a good question. That's well done.
Because Little Nicky, one of the worst movies of all time.
It was tough, right?
Like, Reese, however, didn't take the bait.
Oh, well, listen, I thought girls took a long time to get ready, right? But it took me about 7 or 8 hours to get ready when I was in... full flow is the lizard.
All right, so that's
not,
all.
Not even what I... He wouldn't, you know, wouldn't answer it.
He wouldn't mention the Little Nicky or anything like that, although it was a good effort. So King of Mexico gets to Andrew Garfield. Well, he doesn't really get to Andrew Garfield. There's other people asking Andrew Garfield questions. Yeah. Instead of miking Andrew Garfield, Dave just talks to himself while he waits, and you can hear Andrew Garfield about 6 feet away.
What it is to be an orphan, that every one of us feels like an orphan.
Blah, blah, blah.
And obviously Peter Parker is one of our most famous fictional orphans. That was a big part of it.
Blah, blah, blah.
Can be such a good father.
I'm trying to photobomb.
Yeah! That's my
well,
man.
Well, no, he was, you know, he was next to me. He was with the person next to me, but they were telling me, like, oh, you got to hurry, you got to hurry. So I'm saying, hurry up, man. Hurry up.
I'm trying to photobomb. We sent the right guy there. He's on with a microphone in front of Andrew Garfield, you know, the man of the moment. Yeah. And all Dave cares about is photobombing, which I love. And then he gets his time with Andrew.
I'm here with Andrew Garfield. Now, Andrew, is it true that you watched the Spider-Man porn parody as research?
No, I think that was just a joke I did in an interview. No, I never watched it, but have you seen it? I saw like a still from it.
Now, so we can't expect webs slinging from other areas other than your hands, right?
No, I'm pretty sure they're just going to come from the contraptions and not my penis, as you're suggesting. It's only wrists. And I'm not doing a sexual innuendo for a kid's movie.
Thanks, man.
Look at Dave figured out a way to turn a wholesome American product and make it just filthy.
Come on. So then he had a fantastic interview with Emma Stone. And let's
this
be honest.
This is what we were all waiting for.
Man, this was a... crown of the night. She is amazing.
She's the best.
She looks gorgeous.
She's got the best sense of humor. There's nothing bad about her. But this interview,
Emma. I don't think she could hear me. Emma, it's King of Mexico. I won't be creepy like Jim Carrey. Emma.
So he didn't exactly
get... Whoa, that was awesome.
He didn't exactly get Emma Stone. You remember the Jim Carrey video that he's talking about where Jim Carrey was in love?
This is a message for Emma Stone. Emma, I just wanted to let you know that I think you're all the way beautiful. Not just pretty, but smart and kind-hearted. And if I were a lot younger, I would marry you.
Yeah, so the idea of getting Emma by talking about something else creepy, not necessarily going to work.
I'm good though, right?
Favor.
I'm the best.
He's so far from the
best. I'm the best.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I spent last week writing my column for Scientific American, which I don't know if you guys know, but I'm published in Scientific.
I wasn't where you were doing that. No. Mm-hmm. What were you writing about?
I was writing about the God particle.
If there's one thing I know about Kevin and all the years we've been working together is he will not stop talking about the God particle. This is, and I'm not going to pretend to understand much of this because I'm no physicist like Kevin, but the Higgs boson is the thing that was discovered. It has been theorized for decades, and they've been looking for it for 50 years or something like this. And this is, they knew that there was something out there that was making things become mass, that was giving matter mass so that everything holds together. And they think that this is a key toward understanding how the universe was created.
In other words, why don't don't atoms and everything just fly away randomly? Why are they held
together? Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, because most of the matter in the universe is like that. But some of the matter, a small percentage of the matter, including you and me and the Earth that we're on and the other planets and the stars, that somehow is held together by what? And they were figuring, you know, people have always said they call it the God particle because they think, well, that's just, you know, that's God in his magic or whatever you want to describe it to be. But there are scientists who have been working on this full time their whole careers, and these guys found it while we were on vacation. They made an announcement. They said the Higgs boson exists and we can prove it. And this was huge news. I mean, there's going to be Nobel Prizes off of this. I mean, this is going to be something that, I mean, kids are going to go into physics because of this. It's such a big deal. Well, one guy who may be happy about it because he is into stuff like this, he's the most famous physicist in the world, also is a little bit sad because he had bet $100 that the Higgs boson would not be discovered in his lifetime. And that man is our friend, Professor Stephen Hawking, who joins us on the phone right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Hawking. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
You must be very excited by this.
This is an incredible discovery for all of the scientific community.
Now, I was a little embarrassed to even be trying to describe it in layman's terms, knowing we have a great mind like yours on the phone, but did I botch it too badly, or is that what we're talking about?
You did an excellent job of giving a basic explanation of what the Higgs boson is.
Oh, thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate that.
So, at least why... you didn't sit down at the wrong table at a poker tournament.
Yeah, that was kind of embarrassing, wasn't it?
Kevin is the anti-Hawking.
How dare you?
Why did you bet $100 that this would not be discovered in your lifetime?
While I believed in the Higgs boson in theory, I never could believe that we would be able to devise a technique to isolate and identify the particle.
I see. Mm-hmm. And so you bet against it happening during your lifetime. And so while you're excited, you lost $100.
I bet physicist Gordon Kane $100 that it would not be found. I now owe him $100.
Right.
But really, I wipe my ass with $100 bills.
Well,
that
you are
is,
very wealthy.
If I could wipe my own ass.
Oh, that's a terrible visual,
I
by the way.
You have other people wipe your ass with $100 bills?
Yes, I do. And I have to pay those people $100. So it's like I wipe my ass with $200 every time I wipe my ass.
Wow, that would get expensive rather quickly, I guess.
I got money, bitches.
Yeah, right. You do make it rain. That's one thing we've learned about you, Professor. So what does this mean for us? I mean, where do we go now with this in the world of science?
It means that if we can identify what holds matter together, we can remove that particle and get everything all effed up.
Well, that's what you're trying to do?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, why?
Because I am grumpy and paralyzed.
Can't argue with that.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
That's another great song from Foo Fighters and their Wasting Light album. Group Love on the way. Also, Green Day, Young the Giant, and MGMT coming up, too. Ralph Kramer is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, see which movies were big hits over the weekend, which not so much. Amazing Spider-Man, as expected, number one this weekend with $65 million at the box office.
Now, I've been told that the director of that movie is coming in on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow. Is that true?
He is. Mark Webb.
Is that possible?
Great guy and a big fan of the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way.
Yeah, but way too big a star.
Possible?
He's Hollywood royalty now with the biggest movie in the world. He shouldn't be wasting time on our little dog.
Well, what are you trying to talk him out of it?
No, but I'm
luckily
just saying.
We booked him before the movie came out, so it was still a crapshoot. So it was less than 500 Days of Summer was his biggest hit up to that point, and so now he's the big deal who recreated the Spider-Man franchise.
How about that?
Yeah, Mark Webb is his name. He's a great guy. I've had a chance to hang out with Mark several times because I've done some screenings and stuff with the movie. I mean, my relationship with this film goes way back to Comic-Con when we first showed that initial footage and we had Andrew Garfield there and stuff. So, yeah, he's a great guy and he has listened to our show for many years.
Well, he needs better taste.
Yes, he does. $65 million made it number one. Now, if you go back to when the movie was first released, which was the day before the 4th of July weekend, 4th of July holiday, then that gives it $140 million.
Only that?
That's all, yeah. Ted came in at number two. Ted was the number one movie in America last week with $54 million at the box office. This week it made $32.6 million at the box office. Still very strong. and good enough to make it number two. Overall, Brave was third, Savages and Magic Mike were the top five. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection, Madagascar 3, Katy Perry, Part of Me, the 3D movie, in its debut, only made $7.2 million.
Wow.
If she had showed her can, she could have made a lot more money.
Yep, should have been more of her.
Moonrise Kingdom was ninth, and To Roam With Love was 10th at the box office this weekend. Justin Bieber is now filing a harassment complaint against one of the paparazzi who chased him down the freeway on Friday, which made him go 100 miles an hour. He had to. He had no choice.
God,
because
a
guy
him.
Was trying to take his picture. You know how painful that can be.
Especially for Justin Bieber.
When someone snaps your picture, hey, little douchebag, guess what? Don't drive around in your little sparkly chrome car if you don't want paparazzi to know it's you, you asshole. I wish you would hit it. I wish you would hit some sort of embankment and just evaporate into a pink mist. All of our lives would be so much better off. He is fired. He has the balls to file a harassment complaint against the paparazzi who he claims forced him to drive at 100 miles an hour. He said this guy was driving crazy. He was a maniac on the road. He put several lives in danger. How many lives did you put in danger, you douche?
He's the best.
Oh, man.
We weren't here, Ralph. I know you were covering it live, but didn't he go 100 miles an hour and he was just swerving in and out of traffic?
Yeah, he was driving like a loon.
Incredibly dangerous, right?
And the security guy who was in the car with him was letting him get away with it. And the cops pulled him over and said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, the paparazzi's chasing me." Well, you know what? The faster you go, the faster they're going to go. So if you had been cruising at 55 miles an hour, the paparazzi would be going 55 miles an hour. You control how fast the danger is with these people.
Stop it.
This is the fourth time he's been pulled over in this tinfoil car of his. The first three times he got let go with warnings.
Three times they let him go?
Three times.
If he drove a Honda Civic, no one would ever take his picture.
They'd never think it was him.
They would never think it was him.
No.
Hey, where's his little swag car that he made so much commotion about? About his remember his environmentally friendly swag car that he had?
He's still got the Badillac.
Sure.
And now he's got the douche-mobile, and he filed a complaint against the photographer.
Ugh.
Yeah. They got to murder him, right? We got to kill him.
Well,
we have no answer. We have no other answer to this problem.
I can't see another answer?
That's what I'm saying.
I'd rather not put that out there, however.
We've tried to figure out a solution to the Bieber problem, and this is the only thing I can think of.
SEAL Team 6?
SEAL Team 6. Double tap. I'm out of time. I'm going to get the birthdays today.
Triple, quadruple tap in this case.
Whatever. Quintuple tap.
Just unload.
Dodeca, pentathlon, tap, whatever it takes. Celebrity birthdays, Brian Dennehy, very talented character actor. One of my favorites, 74.
You don't have to tell Kevin, man. He can't get enough of him on stage.
I remember when Kevin and I went to see him in Death of a Salesman. And Kevin,
oh, was he in that?
Kevin was...
I was out all night the night before.
Then Kevin sat down in someone else's seat at the theater.
Didn't do that.
And tried to give away money from their pockets. Chris Cooper, 61 years old today. Actor Jimmy Smits is 57. Tom Hanks, talk about your good actors, 56 years old. Courtney Love turns 48. Jack White is 37. Fred Savage of the Wonder Year fame, now a talented TV director in his own right, he is 36. Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse is 37. And Dan Estrin of Hoobastank celebrates his 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
We are back from vacation. We are live. You are listening to Live Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock here on the 9th of July. We got Comic-Con passes you can win to join us in San Diego coming up later this week. We'll give away the tickets today. You join us later this week as we broadcast live from San Diego on Friday. Also, we got tickets for The Dark Knight Rises. The opposite of entertainment is someone I like to call the Armenian comedian. And he's a guy who has been on and off this program. It has to be over 15 years now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Talking to Sam?
Yeah.
It's got to be right. And, of course, we didn't talk to him for 2 years, and then we thought, boy, do we miss this guy. Let's get him back on. And sure enough, he hasn't lost a step. He is just as magic as he ever was, and he is now on a world tour. The Armenian comedian, world-class comedian, also has a rock and roll band called the Sidecar Bandits, and Sam is on a world tour, and we need to find out what that's all about as he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sam.
Good morning. How you doing, everybody?
We are very good. Thank you. We heard just before we went on vacation that you and your band were setting off on a world tour, and we had to find out what this is about.
Man, it's so great that I all my life experience, I put it in songs, and it's going to be a fantastic tour.
Now, are these songs that we have not heard yet, or are they Oh Mama, Oh Papa, and Stop the Teenager Stop Spraying the Bullets on Each Other, whatever those were?
Yes, some of them are, and many of them are new.
New, okay.
Oh, wow, okay. How many songs do you think you know now, Sam?
I know about 25 songs, but I'm releasing my new album is about 10 or 11 of them.
So you have a new album coming out. When is that happening?
Whenever you guys doing my breakfast show together and release the album.
Hold on.
We call it the Breakfast Release Album Show with Kevin and Bean.
All right, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't realize we played into this. If you have a new album, you're going to release it. Usually what you'll do is you'll set a date that you're going to release it with your record company or whatever, and then, you know, then we'll decide whether we want to do a breakfast or not.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So it sounds like it's settled. What are these new songs about, Sam? What kinds of things are you writing about lately?
I took a ride on a train to New York City.
Okay.
And World War III, Teenagers Stop Spraying Bullets on Each Other, Pretty Lady, and then Breakdancing and Get Up and Dance.
I think I'd like to hear Breakdancing. Really? Yeah.
Do you have a song called Breakdancing?
Yes.
Do you breakdance?
No, I wrote a song, How the Breakdance Started, New York.
Do you know those lyrics? Do you remember those lyrics? Could we hear some of those, Sam?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Love it.
Okay. You want to hear it?
Let's hear a little of breakdancing, if you don't mind.
Breakdancing, how it started, breakdancing. It started in New York City, Bronx, and it was a little kid was stealing a hubcap from a Cadillac, belonged to a pimp. And his jacket's lace got caught on a hoop cap.
Wait, Sam. Sam, I'm sorry. We were looking for the lyrics for the song, not just a general description.
It is that.
Oh, that's what you were giving? Well, then hang on one second.
Begin sequence. Now, a K-Rock world premiere exclusive.
All right. K-Rock. All right, go for it again. Sorry. Break dancing, part two, go.
Breakdancing, how the breakdancer started in New York City, Bronx. A little kid was stealing a hubcap from a Cadillac, belonged to a pimp. His jacket's lace got caught on a hubcap while the pimp got away.
Sam, aren't you just making this up as you go?
No, I'm not making it up.
Okay,
it
sorry.
Like that.
All right, go ahead.
Grandmaster Sam. What? Huh?
Don't interrupt me.
Sorry, I apologize. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
His jacket lace got caught on the hubcap while the Cadillac moved away.
World-famous K-Rock.
Huh?
And his head got spin on the street. That's how it started the breakdancing. That's how it started the breakdancing.
That's enough. That's fine. Thank you very much,
Bean. I think you'll agree with me. That is top notch.
A lot of people are praying for best of Kevin Bean at this point. Listen, so Sam, we only have another minute here. Thank God. Armenian Comedian with the Sidecar Bandits. That's your new band. You are on a world
right now in the Pig and Whistle this Friday.
You're playing at the Pig and Whistle. Okay.
This Friday.
Heard you. All right.
Okay. My question was going to be, how many stops on the world tour? Are you going to do all seven continents, or what's the plan here?
I'm going to Japan and China, Germany. I'm going to Armenia, Turkish border also, and I'm going all over that, whatever it takes.
Okay, so you're going to China, for example. You have a promoter that is making this happen, or how's it working?
Oh yeah, yes, I have a promoter. His name is Sherwood, and he is promoting all my events. And,
Sherwood is going to make China happen.
Yes.
Okay,
that's unbelievable. I can't believe you're taking your music to China.
China, they can't wait. They are in pin and needles. They are on chopstick, walking on chopstick.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, wait. They're walking on chopsticks? That's how excited
yes.
they are?
Yes.
Wow. All right, The Pig and Whistle on Hollywood Boulevard this Friday night at 9:45. You can see the Armenian Community with the Sidecar Bandits. Look, you got to get into a studio. You got to record some of these new songs, Sam.
I did already, yes. We've been recording this past Monday.
Okay.
Yes, it is great. Absolutely.
We'll be the judge of that.
I can't wait to see you guys.
We can't wait either.
I can't wait to hear you guys and see you guys and be with you guys. And
you know what you should do? You should come in on Friday and play live.
Absolutely.
All right.
You want to come in Monday?
Friday.
Before the show?
What? No, come in Friday and play live.
Absolutely.
All right.
That would be great.
Get your band together and be here on Friday.
Oh, great. That would be great.
Okay,
Sam. What time?
Doesn't matter. So let's say 7.
7?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell the guys.
Oh, fantastic. Sure. All right, good.
It's going to be 3 of us.
3 of you. Okay, no worries. We'll see you on Friday.
The drummer, the keyboardist, and
don't
me.
Care. We'll see you on Friday.
All right.
All right. Sam. All right. Bye now.
All right. All Thank right. you.
Okay. Going to be at Comic-Con.
I know.
So you invited him in because we won't be here.
That's correct. I hope you had the time of your life. For those of you in San Diego, got to witness that wonderful, beautiful 4th of July fireworks show.
The time of your life?
Last week,
That's
yes.
So
dedicated
sad.
To them?
Dedicated to them. Yep.
We are the Kevin and Bean Show back on the world-famous K-Rock. Yeah, the 4th of July just behind us. I didn't hear too many fireworks tragedy stories this year. I didn't hear too many things getting blown off of people. Kevin, what happened to your house?
I was out of town, so a lot of people were asking if the police showed up. They may have. But I was out of town, so I...
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I didn't get to see him.
This is the first time in a long time that you haven't rubbed shoulders with the law enforcement at your house.
That's correct. But in San Diego, I don't know if you saw this story or not. You can go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com, and see the video. Apparently, they had 18 minutes worth of fireworks. I don't know. Is that... That's probably...
That's typical.
Typical, okay. right?
That's yeah. about right, yeah.
18 minutes of fireworks scheduled for San
Over Diego. Over 7,000 fireworks, by the way.
So they got them all usually pre-programmed so that they all go up and it all goes according to plan.
Yeah, it's like all timed.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, apparently the tech, the guy running the show, made a small error, a small decision, in which he fired all of them at once.
Holy crap.
So
well, they're saying it was a computer glitch. They're saying it was
sure.
not human error. This
oh,
time.
I know.
It was a computer glitch.
I'm sure. I would say that, too.
They are investigating it right now. But, yeah, all 18 minutes went up in about 15 seconds.
Oh, man.
And you know how long it takes to, like, get the family and get the car and go down, find parking, find a place to get a good view of the fireworks?
And they've probably been there a couple of hours.
Sure. Drinking, getting mm-hmm. ready, hanging out. And then 15 seconds.
That's just so funny.
How awesome is
that? It would be
amazing
to see what that looked like.
Well, you can go to krock.com or kevinandme.com and see it if you want.
Oh, you got the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
The video's
the whole thing. Right. Yeah, all 10 seconds of it. There's no comeback from that, by the way. It's not like you've got additional fireworks standing by that you can then put on another show. I mean, once it's gone, it's gone. At that point, you're trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, it's over, right?
Everybody's looking at you like, what else is there? And you go, well, I got nothing.
This company, by the way, this company that that is in charge of the fireworks down there in San Diego, they do fireworks all over the country, and they did tons of other shows that same day, didn't have any problem. They have not yet figured out what the glitch was in San Diego that caused everything to shoot off at one time.
That's awesome.
But Beer Mug, you've been there where you think it's going to last a long time, and then it all shoots off at once. You know what they're talking about, right?
Dare you!
So, like we do from time to time after holidays, we're looking for your disastrous, in this case, 4th of July holiday stories. We're looking for people who had comparably bad 4th of Julys to the guy who ran the computer for this show.
Doesn't have to necessarily be around fireworks, although that's always funny, but it could be around friends who are drinking all day on that day and things go terribly south. That could be one of the things that you want to call about. Just bad 4th of July stories. Bean, I don't know if you remember. I don't think you were even there. Remember, where was it? Now I'm trying to even remember where it was.
I don't even know if you remember.
I set off a fireworks show early one time. about 10 minutes before it was supposed to start. And it was set to music.
Oh, that's right. I do remember
it,
that.
It was set, yeah. Like, it was supposed to be set at a certain time I was supposed to start this music. And I thought that I would play, I forget, did Neil Diamond or one of those guys do a patriotic song?
Coming to America. America. That's
America.
It.
Yeah. So I thought I would play that right up to when the fireworks show was supposed to start. I didn't know that was
the first song?
It was the
yes.
first, yeah, it was
that
the
was
first
the kickoff song of
the
fireworks.
It was the kickoff song of the fireworks. So as soon as I started it, the fireworks started going, and the phone started ringing, and everybody's like, what are you doing? I was working at a radio station. I was like, I'm just playing a patriotic song. That's the first song for the fireworks. What do we do? So, you know, they tried to stretch it out. That's a little easier than sending them all up in 18 seconds or whatever it was in San Diego, but what a disaster.
The thing about the 4th of July holiday and the reason we want to take your disaster calls at 1-800-520-1067 is that it's a long holiday weekend for some people, although falling on a Wednesday this year didn't do us any favors in terms of the long weekend. But it's generally hot. There's generally a lot of partying and a lot of drinking and a lot of people involved. And that's where a lot of things can go wrong.
And for me, usually the authorities are involved in one way or another.
And people get their fireworks from shady places sometimes, so you never know exactly what's going to happen.
Well, that's the fun of it.
When you light it.
That's the fun of it, is that you really don't know where it's going to go or where it's going to blow up or any of that kind of stuff.
I mean, I know we got M80s from Mexico in the past, and you just never know what if you're going to lose a hand or...
Yeah.
I'm just going to go poof.
That is the fun, is just trying to figure out what body part you're going to lose this year. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number for 4th of July nightmares. Whether it was your family, it was ending up at the hospital. That always happens on the 4th of July. You had stitches. You had to be repaired at the hospital. Firework mishaps. Police showed up. People got arrested. Bottles got, you know, hit over the head. Any of the above, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 735. Congratulations to Christian Sandoval, who from Paris, California, by the way.
Okay.
Who just won
the good Paris.
Won the grand prize win to Road Trip USA Stop Number 1, which is fun, at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's cool.
How about that?
Keep on listening. We'll be hooking you up with tickets for Epicenter, and then you'll win the grand prize drawing this Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show to see one of the Epicenter bands of your choice, STP or Bush or Deftones, whoever you like, somewhere else around the world. It's Road Trip Destination Number 2. Right now we're talking about fireworks or 4th of July disasters. That story down in San Diego, and again, you can go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com and see 18 minutes worth of fireworks going up in 10 seconds. That got us thinking. You know, there are a lot of potential things that can go bad over the 4th of July holiday weekend. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we get started with Ariel on line 3. This is a good old-fashioned 4th of July story that involves losing body parts. Ariel, thank you so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good morning.
What happened?
What happened?
So my neighbors are Jehovah's Witness, so they don't celebrate nothing. And the day after 4th of July, they had gone to the beach that night instead. And they came home with just leftover fireworks that they had found on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the older brother, that's my neighbor, had two younger siblings. So he had an M80 and wanted to snap it in half so his younger siblings didn't get to it.
Sure.
And so when he snapped it, it wasn't a dud. And when he did, it made his fingers come off, like four of his fingers, three on one hand and one on the other.
It exploded?
And we've never heard someone scream so loud in my life.
Oh, so he lit it. It blew up in his hand and blew off four fingers. And your takeaway from that is how funny his scream was?
It was so sad at the time, but now it's funny though.
Oh, man.
Dude, how far away from him were you when this happened?
Well, we're direct neighbors, so everyone was in the backyard, and we just heard it. When everyone ran outside, he was in his driveway with his hands over his face. So we thought his face had exploded, but it was his fingers. I mean, his mom even brought the fingers with her in the ambulance, but they couldn't put them back.
He didn't have his hands over his face. He had his palms over his face.
Yeah.
That's all that was available.
So how many fingers in total did he lose? Did you say he lost 7 altogether?
Four
fingers. That is the 4th of July to remember. My God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Thank you for the call. Those of you who don't know, the M80 is not just a firecracker.
Yes.
It's about 1,000 firecrackers. It's pretty strong.
Let's talk to Joe now. Joe's on line 2 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's our 4th of July post show, I guess. How did it go for you, Joe?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May, good morning,
Hi.
Guys.
Good morning.
This was a 4th of July about 15 years ago, and we're all the neighborhood kids were in my neighbor's garage, you know, just messing around with little fireworks, and my brother had the bright idea, putting a bunch of gunpowder into one of those little CO2 cartridges, it's a little metal CO2 cartridge
sure.
about 3 inches long.
Sure.
And so we're all messing around, you know, pinching Piccolo Pete's or something, and he walks down to the street to see if it'll go off, and the next thing we hear is this huge explosion that literally rattles the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother comes stumbling up the driveway with blood gushing down his leg. So we call 911 and everything. And,
wait, where is it gushing from if it's coming down his leg?
It's gushing from just above the knee.
Oh, his leg, okay.
Above his knee.
All right, good.
And so we call 911 and the ambulance comes and we figure out that what happened is that the CO2 cartridge had exploded and sent a rock flying through his leg and left an exit wound of about 3/4 inch.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and left a metal piece of shrapnel inside his leg.
Oh
right
my
in the middle
god!
Of his leg. Missed his femoral artery by about 2 millimeters.
And people say homemade fireworks aren't safe.
But the funniest part of the whole thing was when the ambulance came.
Wait, there's something funnier than what you've told us so far?
So far, both stories have ended funny.
The craziest part was the fire marshal came up to my parents afterwards. The fire marshal had come with the ambulance and explained to them that the explosion had registered on the fire department's blast meter as a homemade grenade.
Sweet!
Oh, my God.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, so he's okay now, but he's got a sweet scar and a little piece of metal as a good little souvenir.
As a gift.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah,
by
no
the way,
problem.
Kevin, I know that you'll never, ever subscribe to this, but isn't it possible that fireworks are best left to the professionals?
Don't be dumb.
I know. It sounds ridiculous.
Look, here's the thing. Never mind.
What's the thing?
The thing is, if you buy cheap fireworks, they're cheap. When you go big, they're pretty reliable.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty
okay.
good. That's all.
Let's try Sam on line 5.
Not
Sam is
that I'm suggesting anyone should do that, because it's against the law, and that would be wrong.
Sam is calling us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Sam, talking about great 4th of July. How was yours?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Actually, this last past 4th of July, I was in Long Beach with a couple of my buddies, and we lit a mortar off.
A mortar?
Problem, yes. Like, you know, the one that shoots up in the sky and
sure.
there's like a little bloom?
Uh-huh.
Problem was, after it shot up in the sky, it didn't detonate. So it came back down and went off at ground level.
Oh, no.
As we're all standing around.
Because
so,
that's a pretty big explosion, those mortars.
Yeah. 2 car windows later, we're all scrambling trying to run inside. We ended up having to run and hide in my buddy's apartment, turn off all the lights, and lay on the ground because the cops came around looking for it, looking for whoever did it. And we were actually down there for about an hour.
Sweet.
And the funny part of my story was, as we were sitting down there, we were all starting to get thirsty, and there was still a cooler of beer next to us. So as we're sitting on the ground in the apartment, in the dark, waiting for the cops to go, we'll just start cracking beers and keep on drinking.
All right. Good work. The party
must continue.
Independence
Day, remember. Thank you very much. Let's try Heath, line 4. Heath has a story that's kind of reminiscent of what happened down in San Diego where the fireworks didn't go as planned. Hi, Heath. Welcome.
Hey. Morning, guys.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
What happened?
Yep. Well, this is when I was growing up in Kansas City. Everyone would come out to this big grass area, and one year all the fireworks went off at the same time, and I just remember as a kid running through clouds of smoke to get to the car.
Sweet. You mean you didn't? They were all over the place?
All over the place. The big ones were going right into the crowd. It was
oh
like
my,
a big colorful
oh,
word.
Dude. That's awesome. Did,
yeah.
did anyone get seriously injured?
Not that I know of. I didn't read the papers at the time. I was in, like, second grade.
His parents
but
didn't
But I just remember
him.
Being scared.
Just running, being scared out of your mind. And now you hate the 4th of July.
Or no, or he's I just disappointed it. Every year now because it's never as much fun as that one, I would imagine.
No, it was exciting.
Well, you should come
no
over to my
kidding.
House. All right, thank you, Heath.
Let's do one more. Let's go to Sal. Sal is a paramedic, so I imagine he's always pretty busy around the 4th of July weekend. Hi, Sal. Thanks for calling.
How you doing, guys? How
Good.
Are you
Hi there.
Well, this was a couple of years ago. I was a paramedic. We were called out to a beach area, and when we got there, the fire department was there putting out the mortar. There was a guy lying on the sand. When we got there, his left leg, well, what happened was the guy who put down the mortar, the thing went off, lit, landed right on his lap.
Oh,
right
no.
on his lap. So his package was fused to his leg.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah. So there's not much we can do. Just, you know, just some wet gauze, put it on it, and transport him to the hospital. But I heard that it didn't end up too well for him.
But
the messed up thing about it was the guy was like, I wasn't even drinking. I was trying to stay out of trouble. So I sat as far away as I could. I guess it wasn't far enough.
And it landed right on his lap and blew up.
Right. Yeah, right on his lap. And it just completely looked like just charcoal. Just completely just black.
Did he lose his unit? I mean, as a result of that?
It looked pretty bad. It looked pretty bad. I mean, you can tell. I mean, the degrees of burns were really, really severe.
If it's a charcoal unit, it's going away.
Yeah. So, I mean, I heard, you know, because, you know, we're going through the whole day, 4th of July, just doing this and that. And sure. I heard from other paramedics that it just didn't turn out too well. I didn't want to get into it too much because, you know, being as a guy, you cringe just hearing that stuff. So I didn't even want to know.
You never, ever expect when you go to a 4th of July party that you're going to lose your penis. You just don't. It's just not on the menu.
You never do.
Today I will char my penis is not a thought that you ever have. All right.
Beware.
Thank you.
We're going to catch up with Ken Block coming up right after the top of the hour. Of course, last week he won a silver medal at the Rallycross X Games, and he's got a brand new Gymkhana video. You know his Gymkhana videos have racked up over 140 million views.
I don't doubt it. They're awesome.
In the series. They are unbelievable, and he's got a new one that just debuted this morning, and we'll talk to him about that coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as expected. The Amazing Spider-Man was number one this weekend, making $65 million in its opening weekend. Now, remember, it was released before 4th of July, Tuesday, to be exact. So if you go back to its original release day, it made $140 million since it opened last Tuesday. So huge numbers for The Amazing Spider-Man. Ted came in at number two with another $32.6 million this weekend.
That's Ralph Garman's Ted? Is that the movie you're talking about?
Hardly. But I am in a little bit of it. The first 10 minutes, you can catch me in that film. Brave was third. Then Savages was fourth. Magic Mike came in at number five. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection was six. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, was number seven at the box office. Then Katy Perry's 3D concert / biography film, Part of Me, came in at number eight. Only $7.2 million in its debut weekend. Moonrise Kingdom and To Rome with Love, new Woody Allen film, was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Sad news, as we say goodbye to Oscar-winning actor Ernest Borgnine this weekend. He died yesterday of kidney failure. He was 95 years old. He went to the hospital for a checkup, ended up dying in the hospital. That's why I say people do not get checked up by doctors.
Don't get
it
a checkup.
It was deadly.
You know what's amazing about him, Ralph? You mentioned he was 95. He seemed like he was in great health to the end. When you'd see him at these red carpet events, like at the Oscars every year, he always seemed very sharp and very healthy.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen him in 15 years.
The healthiest dead man there is. That's what they said about him. Career was amazing. Spanned 61 years. Won an Oscar for Best Actor for Marty in 1955. He was a TV star in the 60s with McHale's Navy.
I loved McHale's Navy.
Well, who didn't? A bunch of great movies. From Here to Eternity. He was in Escape from New York. Great in that. Did voiceover work. Side Adventure, yeah. He was also a World War II vet. He was in the Navy in World War II, and you can hear his voice narrating the audio tour of the USS Arizona Memorial if you're in Pearl Harbor. If you go to Hawaii, you heard Ernest Borgnine doing that. So, quite a life. And 95, pretty good run.
No kidding.
Pretty good run. Jimi Hendrix movie's in the works. They've almost completed the principal photography for the film, which is called All Is By My Side. Andre 3000 from Black Eyed Peas stars as Jimi Hendrix.
Outcast
stars as Jimi Hendrix. It's almost completed, and it will be released in 2013, producers say. People are really looking forward to it because Jimi Hendrix estate refuses to give them permission to use any of Jimi Hendrix music in the film, so it should be quite entertaining for Jimi Hendrix fans to go see his life story and not hear any of his music.
It's weird.
It's ridiculous. Why wouldn't the dumbest idea ever.
Why wouldn't they give him permission, and then why would they go ahead with the movie
if
they didn't have
it? That's what I'm saying. If you don't have the permission to use the Jimi Hendrix movie, you know what you don't have? You don't have a Jimi Hendrix movie.
That's a terrible idea.
Just everyone back away slowly from the set. Everyone return the costumes and return the rented equipment because you don't have a movie.
Where's the outrage there?
Douchebags.
It's ridiculous, right?
We didn't want it anyway because this movie's about before he was a star. Like, no one cares what happened before he was a star. Ridiculous fools. And they said the reason they didn't get the rights to the music is because the Jimi Hendrix estate, which is primarily run by his sister, said we would never give the rights to the music to any film where we didn't have any idea of what the presentation was going to be of Jimmy. We'd have to be in on the production to understand.
Oh, and they didn't want it.
And they didn't include them in the production at all. So they're like, well, no, if you don't invite us into your party, we're not going to give you the soundtrack. So
they want to make their own movie, basically, is what it is.
They at least want to be involved in whatever film gets made about him. Which, and by the way, you can't blame them.
How funny is this, Ralph, that this is a real-life parallel to the joke they've had ongoing on 30 Rock forever about the movie that Jenna is making about Janis Joplin, where they don't have permission to use any of her music either, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brian Dennehy is 74 years old today. Actor Chris Cooper turns 61. Jimmy Smits, 57 years old. Tom Hanks is 56. Can't believe that Jimmy Smits is older than Tom Hanks.
And that is hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Courtney Love is 48 years old. Musician Jack White celebrates his 37th birthday. Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse is 37. Fred Savage turns 36. And Dan Estrin of Hoobastank is 36 years old also. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for that tweet beam coming up here in a few minutes. Also, we got tickets you can win for Comic-Con. If you want to join us, we're going to be broadcasting live this Friday down in San Diego at the Hard Rock Hotel with lots of special guests. We'll have more information as we get closer to that date coming up here this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of being back from vacation, Kevin, you spent a lot of time at the X Games like you do. How was that?
Love, always fun.
What'd you see that was amazing that blew your mind this year?
I saw the Moto X Best Trick. I saw the thing that blew my mind was the Big Air skateboard with an 11-year-old.
Oh, really?
11 years old and 4 months was doing the Big Air skateboard.
Did you scream F you to that kid like you wanted to?
By the way, there were either 4 or 5 of the 12 under 15.
What's up with that?
He's just like born on skateboards.
The guy that took second, Mitchie, was 15 years old. He was 15. Yeah.
And what were you doing when you were 15?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Exactly. Our next guest, Ken Block, who joins us on the phone back on the Kevin and Bean Show, was doing what he does at X Games, which is winning another medal. He got the silver in this year's Rallycross. And, of course, today is a huge day for Ken Block fans because his new Gymkhana 5 video has been released on the DC Shoes YouTube channel and also at krock.com. Hi, Ken. Welcome back, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure.
Always a pleasure. How was your X Games experience? What did you think of the course this year? I heard there was some controversy in the practice leading up to where people said, dude, this is pretty dangerous.
Well, yeah. I mean, every time you try and drive cars on city streets in a place like downtown L.A., there's going to be some obstacles that are fairly immovable. And one particular guy hit a light post and put himself in the hospital for about a week and a half, and another guy came up short on a jump, and it was like hitting a brick wall, practically destroyed the car. And,
I saw that, dude. I thought he was going to die.
Yeah, so it's really important. I mean, we play in a very dangerous sport, and you know the organizers try to do the best job they can to make it safe, but
sure.
You know, sometimes it isn't when you're trying to jump a car 80 feet, but that's the way it is.
See if you can put this into words for me, Ken. I don't know that I've ever asked you this question before. Is it more fun for you to be on a regular street course like during the X Games in Los Angeles or doing your new Gymkhana video in San Francisco? Is that more fun for you than being in a course that is designed for what you do?
Yeah, I'd say it's kind of like, you know, the analogy to me would be like skateboarding in a skate park or doing it somewhere where it's natural, fun terrain that you're not supposed to be on. So for me, it's kind of more fun to be somewhere where you're really not supposed to be, just because it makes it more unique. And
hey, what's going on there? You need to call the Humane Society? What's happening?
Was that a dog or a baby, Ken?
Yeah, my one-year-old's with us.
Oh, it's a baby. Maybe we should call the dog pound.
And we're actually in Vegas. We're Monster out of here for the rehab party that they have here at Hard Rock.
Nice. That's a good one. But let me ask you about driving where you're not supposed to. The latest one, where you're in San Francisco, it looks like the Walking Dead version of the San Francisco. What time of the day did you do it? How'd you clear it out? The whole entire city is gone.
Yeah, no, it was amazing working with the city of San Francisco. They were just so great to work with. They have a great film commission up there that's used to, you know, doing movies and closing off areas. And quite just unique to be able to have whole neighborhoods and all that to yourself, to have a police escort to go out and do the Bay Bridge. So
You know, it was quite amazing.
That's a cool shot of you going across the Bay Bridge as you head into San Francisco. That looks like it's just so much fun.
Yeah, no, it was kind of like if the zombie apocalypse ever really happened. I think that's how it sort of feels. So.
I felt like the entire cast of The Walking Dead was going to come up over the hill at any moment.
We were talking about, before we brought you on, and this is the voice of Ken Block here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his new Gymkhana 5 video. We were talking about how you've had over 140 million views of the first four in this series. And this fifth one, I mean, it looks like a postcard to San Francisco. It looks like they ought to be using this for the Board of Tourism. It looks like the most beautiful city on the nicest day in the world when you were up there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm used to going to San Francisco and having it be full of fog.
Yeah,
and cars. Yeah, we got very lucky to have four beautiful days up there, and it's just, San Francisco is an amazing city. It's been filmed in movies like Bullet and a lot of TV shows, and for me to be able to go up there and have my way with those streets was actually really, really cool, and I really got to thank again the city of San Francisco. It was amazing to work with them.
Are you in on creating the course, or did they just somebody else create it, and then you get to go drive it?
No, I do all that myself. I have a team of guys and people at DC to help, but I'm the one that gets stuck with trying to figure out what to do with the car and come up with all these crazy concepts. And it's, the creative process is actually really fun for me. And then in the end, getting to drive all the stuff that I dream up is really fun too.
Sure. You got some special guests in this new Gymkhana 5 video too, including your friend Travis Pastrana. You got him back on a bike. I guess the last time he had ridden was when he shattered his ankle, right?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, I wanted him to do, like, these really slow wheelies, and I never even thought about the fact that, like, when he, you know, destroyed his ankle last year at X Games, it just happened to be his brake foot.
Yeah.
So when you do very slow wheelies on a dirt bike, you have to control the bike very delicately with the brake, and so he showed up, and we started playing around with what we were going to do, and he couldn't actually do a slow wheelie, so we ended up having some fun doing something slightly different, but it turned out really cool. Travis is a great friend of mine, and we've competed for years against each other, you know, in rally cars, and it was great to actually have him come out and be a part of this.
He seems like one of those guys that everybody around loves, even if you're a competitor against him or whatever. It seems like everybody likes him.
Yeah, he's just got a great attitude with life, and he's just so talented. It's amazing to watch him do what he does.
How many tires did you go through in the course of that 4 days in San Francisco, Ken?
Around 30.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. You hate driving more than 10 feet straight, don't you? If you can't be sideways or backwards, you're not happy.
Yeah, well, I grew up watching rally as a kid, and cars, you know, that slid and jumped on dirt and mud and snow, and tarmac was just something that enthralled me, and so I just absolutely love it. I race, you know, rally as a competitor, but the idea there is you have to keep the car as straight as possible because you get the most grip and traction when the car is straight.
So, and that's sliding, no fun.
No, so this, the Gymkhana stuff is how I get, you know, my kicks in of actually driving the car as sideways as I can.
Ken, have you ever gone to YouTube and just typed in Gymkhana or your name and seen, like, it's impossible to find the real ones. There are so many people who have parodied it or made fun of it, or they're just, their car's not working and they're fixing it on the side of the road. You have to actually go to youtube.com/DC Shoes Film if you want to find it quickly, the Gymkhana one. Have you seen any of the parodies?
Yeah, no, I think it's quite funny, and it's quite an honor for me that people are so enthralled by this and have made all the different bootleg versions and their own versions and all that stuff. I think it's quite funny, and I'm just so happy that people enjoy watching this stuff, because I love to do it and I love to watch it, so it's great that so many other people are interested, and that interest keeps DC paying for me to keep doing these.
So sure.
As people keep watching, well, hopefully I get to keep doing them.
You can see the video at youtube.com/DC Shoes Film, or you can go to kevinbean.com or krock.com to see the latest Gymkhana 5 video. And it is beautifully done, so congratulations on that. And on this year's medal at Rallycross 2 at the X Games, Ken. It's always great to catch up with you, man. Good luck to you.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks. Bye now.
The Kevin and Bean Show is back from vacation today with an all-new show, an all-new week. In fact, tomorrow, comedian Greg Proops is going to be in studio, one of the smartest guys we know. Also, director Mark Webb from a little film called The Amazing Spider-Man is going to be stopping by. And John Jones is going to be here tomorrow talking about UFC 151. What about that?
John Bones Jones. How about that?
That's a lot of show. That's all tomorrow, right here on the world famous K-Rock. First, though, I can't believe this is how you're
That's
coming at me.
Tweet.
First day back, this is how you're coming at me?
You demand that we come at you.
When how? You go on vacation, why can't you go away?
What are you talking about? What do you mean, Ralph?
What, you go on vacation.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Which relieves many people who listen to the radio show. But then if you're going away, you should just go away for a while. Just
well,
go
did,
away. Don't punish people on Twitter.
But, Ralph, that's not the problem. The real problem is whether he's here or he's away, he's trying to entertain nobody.
He punishes people.
He really is just a punisher.
You're the punisher.
Well, Kevin, you were tweeting. You were tweeting over vacation also.
I was some, but at least I'm attempting to entertain or show a picture or in some way enrich somebody else's life. At least I try that. I may fail massively, but at least there's some effort there.
All right, what are you talking about here? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Do you think anybody, even your most ardent fans, care about your hotel room view from Stockholm, Sweden? You really think anyone cares about that?
I think that there's something to be said for sharing a view that maybe a lot of people haven't seen. They might be interested in it.
Oh, here's a tweet.
Sad to leave this hotel room view behind, but relieved to get out of Stockholm without catching any of the syndrome.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
There's a thing called the Stockholm
right.
syndrome.
We get it. That's we understand
that's
that.
That's the whole reason he went there.
That's
right?
That tweet. Just to be able to make that joke.
Yes. We forget to mention at the beginning every time we do Thanks for That Tweet Bean, which is we understand it. It's not that you're so much deeper than us and we don't understand it. We get
I
it.
See.
It's
okay.
Just not interesting or funny.
I got you. Okay.
Rolling gangsta style with the Little Mermaid statue in Copenhagen. Hashtag, you know.
Because.
We know.
It's.
Yeah.
That's that
tweet.
Bean.
Putting peanuts in your Coke is a party in your mouth.
What the f-
That's a tweet.
What?
That happened.
That didn't happen.
You never put peanuts in your Coke? It's so fun.
How?
Why would
what?
I do that?
You know what? It's fun.
It just is. It's just
why?
Fun.
Why? Because now I have salty Coke. Is that why it's fun?
You know what I most mean, of us do? We'll go to a concert. That'll be fun.
No, put peanuts in your Coke.
Putting peanuts in your Coke is a way to waste time.
I maybe hadn't done best. It in a long time, and I forgot how entertaining it
it's
was.
It's not fun.
It's fun.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
Remember how hard you laughed as a kid when you read that joke in Highlights magazine that an abortion in Prague is a canceled check?
What?
An abortion joke.
Yeah.
Really?
Canceled check, meaning, oh, I see, because it's a canceled check.
No, because.
C-Z-E-C-H.
Why would you.
How did that even come to your mind?
What's wrong with
it's
you?
It's disturbing.
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
Why would you do that?
Off to bed in Sweden, wishing everyone around the world a merry half Christmas, or Christmas and a half, depending on how you count.
It was June 25th.
No.
That's the halfway between
nobody.
Christmases.
Nobody cares.
I celebrate half Christmas every
Thanks
year.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
I love it.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
How do you love something
he
that isn't anything?
He doesn't love it. He doesn't.
There's no half Christmas. How do you love something that doesn't exist?
I listened to that day when I was on the road. I listened to Christmas music the entire day, like 8 hours on the road.
But
I
you listen
all
to Christmas
music
every day, all day, all the time.
But
anyway.
It's especially exciting when it's half Christmas because
there's
now we're
no
even.
There's no such thing.
There is such a thing. It's every year on June 25th. That's a thing.
No, we're not saying that there's not a day that's halfway between Christmases. We're saying there's no such thing as half Christmas.
Well, you could, like I said, you can celebrate it's Christmas and a half if you want. Some people roll that way.
Holy crap.
So much worse.
The media are quick to describe it as luring, but I'm just generously inviting the kids in for ice cream in a windowless van.
Come on.
At least we got the abortion jokes and now the child molestation jokes.
What happens to you when you go away?
This is what he does.
That's creepy.
It was a good vacation. What can I tell you, Lisa?
But Bean, you know that your reputation is creepy.
Well, it seems to me the media are at fault there for their accusatory tone with the word luring. That's all I'm saying. It's just inviting.
We understand what you're saying. Why would you say you follow up the rape joke with the bringing in little kids joke?
I don't know that they were run right next to each other, but they were part of a fun vacation, if that's what you're asking.
I'm glad I'm leaving Europe today. I find their 4th of July fireworks lackluster at best compared to ours. Wonder why.
Oh, wow. Come on.
See, Muggs, they don't celebrate the 4th of July. It's not a holiday there.
You should be embarrassed by that.
You really should.
That should embarrass you.
I stand by it.
4th of July is certainly no Christmas, but I think it's better than all other holidays combined minus Halloween. Please discuss.
Please discuss.
No, we're not going to discuss. F you.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bing. Discussing nothing about what you write.
All right, we're out of time now because...
We booked some great Kevin and Bean guests before vacation, so I'm really excited for Ernest Borgnine and Andy Griffith tomorrow.
Oh, did Andy Griffith die as well?
Yeah.
Wow. That's,
Also, Anderson Cooper on how to pick up chicks, and Tom Cruise on how to make a marriage work. See you at 5:30 a.m. tomorrow.
You know, he's just got too much comedy spilling out of
him. God's sakes.
When he doesn't have the show to put all that comedy into, what does he do?
He's got to do a two-parter tweet on horrible jokes. Planned.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bing.
We're really out of time now. I'm going to go tweet about this right now.
Oh, dear God.
Those days go by. Those days go by.
That song's over. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it is 8:42.
Every time we come back from vacation, it's like learning how to do this job all over again for you, isn't it, Kevin?
You have to start from scratch.
Wait, there's a timer that counts down how much time is it? Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I missed you so much. It's unbelievable how much stuff happened in the 2 weeks that we were gone.
Oh, my God. Last week was one of the busiest weeks we've had. We booked so many stories last week. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
I know. Where do you want to start? What are you fired up about, Harvey?
Oh gosh, I'm fired up about Justin Bieber.
Me too. What a douchebag.
Well, here's the thing. Let me just tell you, we broke this on Friday, and the irony to this is Justin is roaring down the freeway, and he's being chased by paparazzi. I think that's pretty clear. But he is just going at ridiculous speeds, weaving in and out of traffic. So the first person to call 911 happens to be an L.A. city councilman. His name is Dennis Zine, who used to be with the LAPD, was a motor officer for 13 years, so he knows speed.
Right.
He says he was going 60. And when Bieber passed him, Bieber was going at least 100 miles an hour. He flew by like a rocket ship. And he said then a little bit later, he saw these paparazzi going. And he said Bieber was literally, there was barely enough room for Bieber to weave in and out of traffic. And he was just, it was so reckless.
Why couldn't he have just hit a pole or something?
Well, I mean, come on, guys.
Come on, Harvey.
What he should have done. Come on.
That would have been such a better story.
No, he should have just gotten off the freeway, call 911, and there's a bodyguard in the car that's letting him do this. And so, anyway, the bottom line here is Bieber gets a ticket because when they finally stopped him, he was going 80. Bieber's people are saying it's all the paparazzi's fault. And clearly, the paparazzi who did this should be arrested. They should go to jail. I mean, they just should just simply
go.
No,
wait, is this you saying that, or is this what Bieber's saying?
No, I'm saying it.
You're saying this, okay.
I'm saying that the paparazzi who did this should go to jail.
And how about Bieber and his reaction to it? It sounds like he's equally culpable.
Bieber should go to jail, too. They all created a situation where innocent people on this freeway could have gotten killed.
Absolutely.
Bieber would do so well in prison.
Because he's got a pretty mouth. But Harvey, is this just him? He's an 18-year-old who thinks he's invincible, or does he think that he's a star so he's allowed to do whatever he wants, or was he legitimately panicked? What's happening?
It's a combination because when I spoke with his people, they were just defending him to the hilt. And, you know, first of all, you know, what I'm told is that the guy sitting next to him was a security guard that used to be with the Mossad. Well, first of all, anybody who was really in the Mossad doesn't say he's in the Mossad, so the guy wasn't in the Mossad.
Nor would anyone that's in the Mossad ever work with Bieber. That's just science.
But come on, I mean, this guy should be fired, number one, for letting him do it. And yeah. and the security guard who's sitting next to him, his reaction is, he wasn't going 100, I was looking at the speedometer. Well, first of all, Dennis Zine saw him before Bieber got stopped. And secondly, what, the guy speeding, weaving, and there were 10 911 calls.
Wow.
Yeah, and by the way, and you put up, and this is Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone right now, you put up the most hilarious aspect of this whole story is how incredulous Bieber is that the 911 operator has never heard of his Fisker car that he's riding.
Is that unbelievable?
It is unbelievable. I mean, again, that just shows how crazy out of touch this kid is, that he thinks most people have heard of this $150,000 car he's driving.
I've never heard of this till today.
But whether you heard of it or not, the 911 operator says, what are you driving? And he says, a Fisker. And he says, and the 911 operator says, what kind of car? And Justin says, a Fisker.
Because clearly she's asking because she's trying to assist law enforcement to be able to identify
and he's
him.
Like, you don't know what a Fisker is?
Yeah, that's a douche move right
maybe
there.
Maybe she just misunderstood.
Oh, my
God. It's a different word.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, you need some clarification sometimes.
So how is this going to play out for Justin Bieber, Harvey?
Well, he got a ticket. And they're investigating this. There's one particular paparazzo that was really an idiot who just like was right on his tail. And this guy was so stupid that he actually goes down to the music video where Justin ended up. And Justin tells the cops, and one of the cops goes over to the paparazzo, sees the license plate. So they filed a formal complaint, Justin has, against this guy. And hopefully they'll prosecute this guy and throw him in jail. But Justin, too, it's like, I just don't think
it's unacceptable.
Yeah, his people are just not taking this thing seriously.
But Harvey, his people are going to get fired if they do anything except for tell him how great he is. You know that. That's the security guard in the car is not going to go, hey, slow down, Justin, because you're driving unsafe. That's just ridiculous.
If that's the case,
it is. It's always the case with celebrities.
But you know what? Sometimes that these kids, you know, if somebody actually does lay down the law, they end up respecting it. And I just think this is a huge mistake. This guy, if he keeps doing it, will kill somebody, if not himself.
No question.
I agree. And by the way, we don't have any more time today, Harvey.
Fingers crossed.
But I will tell you that this story on the heels of all the fights that Alec Baldwin is getting into on the streets of New York City with the paparazzi are getting right up in his and his kids' face and stuff. I don't know what the answer is to this paparazzi thing. And I know that there are some people who think celebrities bring it on themselves by deciding to be famous. I think there's a breaking point at with this story, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it just doesn't seem like it could continue the way it's going. It just doesn't.
These paparazzi who are doing this, I mean, they've passed laws now where they can't do this stuff, and hopefully enough of them are going to get prosecuted where some of this stuff stops.
You would fire.
It's in our contract that if they do something like this, they get fired. I mean, it's in the contract. But we have people. All our guys are on staff. A lot of these guys are freelance, and they think that the only way they're going to make money is if they can, you know, peddle their stuff to these agencies.
Right.
And the agencies act like, oh no, they're not our guy, even though they really are their guy. They're working for them.
Right.
But they can say, no, we didn't tell them to do it.
Right. Sure.
And it's just become a situation where I mean, I hate to say it, but if it doesn't stop, somebody will get killed.
Can Absolutely. It be Justin?
Hey, it was already Princess Diana, guys. Let's remember. I mean, it has happened before. All right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, entertainment website of record for all the latest on the Bieber. Also, what's going on with Tom Cruise and the divorce settlement. And you've got some great stuff up.
Getting that chick pregnant.
No. Yes. And the Octomom rapping. We got all of that at TMZ.com. And check your local listings for both TMZ televisions, including TMZ Live at 3 on Fox. Harvey, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys. Thanks.
Ralph Garman was holding down the fort here on the Kevin and Bean Show for the past couple of weeks. The whole show is back today, and Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat right now. What's going on, Ralph?
I have the Showbiz Beat, but before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I do have tickets to give away. Also, to a very special K-Rock advanced screening. Boy, it's a great time to be a geek. With the Comic-Con coming up this weekend, and the Walking Dead escape that they're going to have at Petco Park all weekend while we're down there. And now, we have the Dark Knight Rises to look forward to.
Come on.
Yeah!
That's this month.
Come on for that.
The last of the Chris Nolan Dark Knight trilogy is in theaters everywhere Friday, July the 20th. But we're doing a special K-Rock advanced screening. You'll get to see it before anybody else on Wednesday the 18th.
If you'd like to go, I've got three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through with that number, I will give you a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises. This is one of the most anticipated movies of the past 5 years.
Can't wait.
If somebody would have come to you as a 13-year-old, Ralph, and said there would be a time in the future where the Avengers, the Amazing Spider-Man, and a new Batman movie would all be coming out within 2 months, you would not have been able to survive that news. It would have killed you.
I don't think it would have killed me.
It would have killed you.
I don't think it would have. Here's the thing. You people who are looking at all this stuff now say, wow, all these comic book movies are a big deal and everything. You have to remember, those of us who have lived the life, that stuff has always been the biggest stuff in the world to us anyway. So this just feels like business as usual.
Right. But now business as usual with a big budget and big stars and, you know, on a big screen that you can go see and enjoy.
So other people are going to see it. But if this had been a CBS movie of the week,
you would have been just as excited?
Like they used to be. I mean, Spider-Man 1977 was on television with a horrible costume wearing a weird utility belt. And you could see them, like, pulling up the side of a building from, like, a winch and a cable. And that was the biggest thing in the world to me. I was looking for weeks looking forward to that. So it's the same level of anticipation and all this stuff has maintained. It's just gotten better for the rest of the world, really. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Those of us sci-fi geeks are tired of you general people jumping on the bandwagon.
That's
right. I'll tell you that.
Kevin and I, we were there at the Comic-Con before it was cool.
That's right.
Yeah. Remember that one year?
It's the two of us.
You went as Dr. Doom.
That's right.
And you wet yourself because you couldn't get out of your armor.
I did remember that.
Yeah, it was good stuff. While we're talking about superheroes, The Amazing Spider-Man, it's the number one movie in America. Hell, the world. Right now, it's made $140 million since it was released on Tuesday. Just this weekend, it made $65 million. Pretty spectacular. And amazing.
Pretty amazing.
Ted is number two at the box office, $32.6 million. It would have been number one if it wasn't for that meddling Spider-Man. We would have got away with it.
The second week in a row.
$32.6 million.
That's an amazing second week.
First weekend was 54.
Wow.
So, yeah. Very proud of everyone involved with Ted. Brave was third. Savages and Magic Mike were the top five. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection was sixth. Madagascar 3 was seventh. Then Katy Perry's new movie, Part of Me, debuted to $7.2 million, making it number eight. Moonrise Kingdom and To Roam with Love, the new Woody Allen film, number 10 on the list. Everyone was very excited when Charlie Sheen returned to television.
By everyone, you mean...
A lot of people.
The ratings are
huge.
Really good.
Numbers for the first episode of Anger Management, his new series. 5.5 million people tuned in over at FX to watch Charlie returning to television. And then they all left.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Yeah, 40% drop-off for episode 2 for people tuning in for Anger Management. I guess their curiosity has been sated.
My success rate is 100%. Do the math.
It's not 100%.
Did you guys watch any of it? I watched
not
the first
a bit.
No.
I was just curious.
Not interested.
And?
I mean, he's a talented comic actor, but the types of things that he's in are just not to my taste.
Yeah.
I'm sort of done with him. I didn't care about him before, but then after all that,
no, I really don't care.
Whatever. Yeah. Had an assful.
The ratings, they say, are still on the high end of the FX network when it comes to comedy, so it's got that going for it. Here's the thing. It's got to maintain a certain amount of ratings. If it does, it will trigger an automatic contract extension for another 90 episodes.
90?
FX
bought
10.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet contract.
If he hits a certain ratings threshold, it'll automatically roll over into an extension for another 90 episodes. It'll be a 100-episode order.
Wow.
If he maintains it. So I don't know if the FX people are keeping their fingers crossed
that doesn't happen.
That it happens, yeah. Or it doesn't happen. So we'll have to wait and see. And lastly, sad news. We lost one of the greats in movie and television history over the weekend. Ernest Borgnine passed away. Died yesterday of kidney failure. He was 95 years old. A 61-year acting career. Movies like Marty, which won him the Best Actor Oscar, From Here to Eternity, Escape from New York. Then, of course, in the 60s, he was a television star with McHale's Navy. Played McHale in that series.
I loved McHale's Navy.
We all did. Airwolf. I mean, The Single Guy. Remember that with Jonathan Silverman? He played the doorman of the apartment building. He was really good on that, too. So, World War II vet. Great guy by all accounts. Yeah, passed away this weekend. Today's celebrity birthday is Brian Dennehy. Speaking of great character actors, 74 years old today. Chris Cooper turns 61. Another great character actor. Jimmy Smits is 57. Tom Hanks is 56. Courtney Love turns 48. Jack White is 37 years old. Fred Savage from the Wonder Years fame is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Getting a lot of nice response from the Kevin and Bean listeners welcoming us back from vacation on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and the Kevin and Bean Twitter account. A lot of Lisa put them on the glass. They missed you the most, of course. One person maybe not so excited that we're back is our friend LaQuisha, who joins us on the phone right now. Hi, LaQuisha.
She loves us.
Shut up.
How are you? How was your 4th of July?
It was good because you weren't there. None of you was around making me watch Kardashians.
Look, this is your job as Kevin and Bean listener number one. You watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
You're not paying me nothing. You call me and say, do us a favor. Watch the show and then call in. Right. Let us know what you think. You made you stop paying me some goddamn money, then it'd be my job.
Yeah, that's
right
a good
now,
point.
It's a favor to your white asses.
That's a good point. Yeah.
What is going on? I don't know. I don't really follow much of the Kardashians. I know Courtney had her baby in real life this week, but this show that you saw last night must have been filmed months ago before all this happened, right?
Yeah, last night's show was mostly about a homecoming of Khloe and Lamar, because Lamar could not keep a job with the Dallas Mavericks.
Because he got kicked out of the NBA, basically.
He basically got let go, and they're going to move back to Los Angeles, so it's basically about them coming back home. But I wanted to focus more on the men of the Kardashians this week more than the girls, because they get so much attention. But really, we ignore the men behind the women that really are the foundation of this whole family.
Okay.
First, let's play the theme song. Oh, that song is... That is adorable.
Is that really the theme song?
That's the theme song to the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You want to hear it again?
Please.
That's the whole damn theme song.
I wasn't sure we'd have time, but I'm glad we got to force it in.
And that's better than Kim's dance cut that she put out last year.
And I'm telling you, the reason I played that, because I found something out this week, and this is the truth, that Kris Jenner had that turned into the doorbell at their home in Calabasas.
Oh, wow.
So when you come to the front door of the Kardashian compound and you press the button... what you hear.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow. Well,
Scott Disick, you know him. He's the boyfriend of Courtney. Had put two babies inside her, but she won't marry him. That got to tell you something about this guy.
He's a douche.
He got a job this week.
What?
Yes, a personal appearance fee.
Oh.
Do you guys believe that I got an offer to do an appearance at a Sweet 16 for a little girl's birthday?
To do what? Perform?
I'm going there to say happy birthday on the loudspeaker, present her cake, and be there with her and her friends.
Some 16-year-old girl said, Daddy, can we get the loser, low-life scumbag who knocked up Kourtney Kardashian twice, who's an alcoholic and abusive? Can he be my party for my Sweet 16?
Oh, my God.
Well, of course, princess, anything you want.
Or some 16-year-old girl is going to end up crying at her birthday party.
Yeah, just give me surprise. Somebody from the Kardashians. Anybody.
Right.
Maybe Dad should have taken some more care when he put that order out to his staff. No one can believe that he got a job. Not even Bruce Jenner, who, as far as I can tell, hasn't had a job since 1976 when he was running for the Olympics.
Scott got an offer to do some little girl's Sweet 16.
What type of parents would
do
that?
I don't know, but he wants me to go with him, and Mom especially wants me to go with him because...
She's afraid?
She's very afraid.
Why would you ever invite... I mean, I can see you, maybe. You're kind of cute and adorable. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Bruce Jenner, his own family can't believe anybody wants this loser at a party. So they got to fly to New York. He's got to fly to New York to do this, and he goes there with Rob Kardashian as his sidekick, and he is overwhelmed.
I'm flattered I'm in with the teen crowd. I mean, I know Kendall and Kylie like me a lot, and I don't consider myself one of those kids in the Twilight sagas, but I guess I got some kind of following in the teen community, so why not?
He's not quite as big as Twilight, but he's big with the teenagers. Now, meanwhile, back at home, Bruce, this show is great, because this television program carries with it all the drama that you look for when you're looking for something to really affect you, something that tugs at the heartstrings by showing the inner workings of the American family. And Bruce, They always focus on Bruce because he does amazing dramatic things that need to be televised, like putting air in his daughter's tire. He
what?
Inflated a tire last night. That was 10 minutes of television
on TV.
Oh, him no. Putting air in his little daughter's tire for her car.
I am surprised that my dad could just take his little air pumper thing out and pump up my tire, because now I don't have to take it to the shop.
That's not a euphemism either. Pulling his air pumper thing out. That's literally an air compressor, just put air in a tire.
And that was all, that was part of the
that
TV show?
That was a
show?
Television show.
That wasn't the outtakes?
Maybe that they know what they're doing, because when they do let him talk, like he is in this next scene talking to his 16-year-old daughter, it is bean-like is the only way I can describe how creepy this next conversation is.
Isn't your prom coming up?
You gonna get asked?
Most likely not.
Really? If I was in high school, I would ask you.
That's weird, because you're my dad.
No, I'm saying I wouldn't be your father. I would be like in high school. You'd go with me in a heartbeat. I was like the big jock star. I was most valuable player in football, most valuable player in basketball. He would have gone, ooh, look at that guy.
Okay, that's creeping me out, Lucretia, yeah. And I'm Bean.
That is Bean-esque.
Wow.
Seriously. I would take you to prom if I was in high school with you. Ooh,
wow.
Yeah, I'm Bean.
Hey, little girl, let's pretend that I'm the same age as you and we're not related. What do you say?
That is creepy.
Well, Lamar, another of the Kardashian men, he came home, thank God, from Dallas. He is back, and he is better than ever. He takes his wife and his trainer, and they all go up for a workout so he can get back into basketball.
Lamar, that smells so bad. Why would you have to fart like that? Oh, my God, Lamar.
What a jerk.
It's better out than in.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's on TV.
They got Bruce Jenner putting air in tires. They got Lamar Odom letting air out of his ass.
It is better out than in, that's true.
But wait till you get out of the car, Lamar Odom.
This might be a good time to mention this is one of the most popular shows in America.
Now, Chloe keeps being asked by her family, let's all go to New York because Scott's an investor in this restaurant. We're all going to go for the grand opening and support him as a family. And Chloe, she just got back into town, and she said, I don't know if I want to go or not. And they keep asking her, the pressure for Khloe Kardashian is just getting too big.
It's too much. I'm still unloading boxes from Dallas. I have to get my house and everything else in order. I mean, I just feel like my family just thinks like I'm sitting here like laying out every day and like doing workouts and like just enjoy and like going to spas. Like they're, I don't know what they think, and I just feel like I'm about to break and crumble, and it's just really stressful, and I get migraines every day, and people people don't get like how much I'm put under. And
no one knows how much pressure Khloe Kardashian feels.
For what?
Look what she has to do. She has to not have a job.
Right.
She has to have all that money without working.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's got to have a husband who makes a lot of money not working.
Right.
They have a big house. She has no children to take care of.
Sure.
So that's a lot of pressure, not having to raise a family. She's got answering the phone. I see her do that a lot okay. of phone answering.
She's got to eat a lot.
She's got a staff. She's got to tell you, unpack my bags and take all this stuff upstairs. You got to point and talk. No one understands the pressure she's on. No wonder she can't go to New York City. Look how busy she is, not doing anything. Well, this is not going to sit well with Kim and Courtney. They get together. They have an immediate emergency meeting, trying to figure out how they can get Khloe to come with them to New York City.
I think she loves being with him 24/7 and loves that she says, like, everything.
But she acts like we're doing something mean by asking her to hang out with us.
It's so crazy. She acts like we're, like, evil. It's kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
That's true. It is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
As Kim says, the whole situation is ridiculous. And I frankly think this show is ridiculous.
I do too.
And I think Kim is ridiculous.
I do as well.
And tonight is part two of a special two-part episode. Well, that was the cliffhanger.
We will talk to you tomorrow.
No, you will not.
We will talk to you tomorrow, Lucretia.
Will Khloe go to New York? Or will Kim get more ridiculous? We'll find out tonight.
This is the week that many people, millions of people, look forward to every year. Comic-Con 2012 is happening at the San Diego Convention Center this weekend, July 12th through the 15th. It is sold out and has been for many months. Kevin Amin, hey, that's us. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego. We'll be down inside the whale's vagina this Friday. So if you're down for Comic-Con, you want to come on by for the live broadcast, you can. And we're giving away tickets. If you want to be at Comic-Con, you can win passes right now at 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
How much higher are you going to talk?
You can win tickets.
Comic-Con contest. You want to go. You want to go.
Sing it
again. Comic-Con. To Comic-Con. To Comic-Con.
It's a Comic-Con test is what it is. All right, so the way this one is played is we're going to be playing movie clips from famous superhero motion pictures. All you have to do is identify the title. Just tell us what movie the clip comes from, and you win tickets to the Comic-Con.
No.
How about that?
There's no drawing. You get it right, you go.
That's right.
Thursday okay. through Sunday. Okay, here we go. Let's start with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I think yours is the easiest. Good luck.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
How much you want?
Half.
Enough from the clown.
All right.
That's The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
That's correct. Batman The Dark Knight. Nicely
well done.
Well
done. Dude, you're going to Comic-Con.
I want to go to Comic-Con.
Way to go. Well, you're going. That's what we're saying. You're saying you want, and okay, we're going to help you go. All right. Let's go to Seth. Hi, Seth.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that's great.
Are you doing a movie comic character voice right now?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry to offend. All right, good luck. Listen up. Here's your clip.
Here's your movie.
Because he knew the human race had the capacity for goodness, he sent us his only son. His name is Kal-El.
Wow, we made that tough.
That might be the easiest one.
I have no idea.
Are you kidding me?
What? At all.
Are you kidding me? You couldn't hear anything
That's
at all.
That's the best news I've ever heard.
That was Superman, our only son, Kal-El, Superman. That's what we were looking for.
Was that guy for real?
I don't know
what was going on there. That was weird.
That was sweet.
Alexi is on line three, the next contestant here on the Kevin Bean Show. It's the Comic-Con game. Hi, Alexi.
Hi, guys.
Are you ready for your clue?
Let's do it.
All right, tell us what movie this is from.
Your brother, the demigod, a super soldier, living legend who kind of lives up to the legend, a man with breathtaking anger management issues, a couple of master assassins, and you, big fella, you've managed to piss off every single one of them.
These could not be easier.
Seriously.
The Avengers?
Yes. Yes. You're so lucky, dude. You're so lucky. That was a guess, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I didn't think you would get that. This is mind-boggling because I could never win our contests and I would have got all three of these.
I mean, it's Robert Downey Jr., so it has to be either the Iron Man or the Avengers, right? If we're talking about... I mean, okay.
Hello?
Who's next? Where are we?
I don't know.
Are we up to George? Where are we right now?
Hello,
yes, hello?
George.
Hello?
Hi there. You're on.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here's your movie.
Your encounter with a surfer has affected your molecules. They're in a constant state of flux and will cause you to temporarily switch powers with Sue.
All right, what movie is that from?
Not quite Iron Man?
What's that?
Say it again.
Iron Man.
I'm sorry.
That's
because there's a lot of surfing and a lot of characters named Sue and Iron Man.
That's Fantastic Four.
Oh,
thanks for playing.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, who's keeping track? By the way, we've given away two. We still have three more to go at most, right?
That's correct. Rob, okay. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
You ready for your movie?
I sure am.
Here you go.
This guy wears a mask like an outlaw.
I think he's trying to do something. Maybe the police can't.
I gotta stop him because I created him.
38 of New York's finest versus one guy in a unitard.
How could you ever figure that one out?
Daredevil.
Oh my! He's kidding.
Are you joking?
He's not joking.
I'm not joking.
That was the amazing Spider-Man America's number one movie, but thank you for playing.
Oh, my. What's happening? I feel like we're being punked.
It does seem like it, yeah. How about let's just play two more because then we're out of time.
All right. Let's go to Sergio. Hi, Sergio.
Hi, hi, hi.
Are we being punked? Because you would know.
Sergio, you're going to try, right? You're not fooling around,
man,
here.
Those are been so easy.
That's so easy, okay. Right?
All right. Well, listen, if those guys couldn't get those clues, they shouldn't be at Comic-Con. Okay.
Exactly.
Here we go. Here's your movie.
Story goes that he'll be normal during the day, but at night, in the presence of evil, the Rider takes over.
The Rider takes over.
Nicolas Cage is Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And
he even uses his announcer voice.
And exactly. Beef is what's for dinner. All right, congratulations. You're at Comic-Con. We got one more contestant. It's going to be Channing. Let's turn it over to the ladies. The guys have been disappointing. Channing, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
All right, you ready?
I think so.
Here's your movie. Tell us what it is.
You will be able to withstand virtually anything. It's called Adamantium. You're going to have to embrace the other side. Become the animal.
Nice clue there, but a little tougher than some of the others. Good luck, Channing.
All right, thanks. Well, Adamantium was in Thor and Captain America, so I'm going to go with Thor.
I'm sorry. We were looking for X-Men's Origins Wolverine is what we were looking for this time.
Okay.
Thank you. Those other guys got Avengers and didn't get them. That's got to be frustrating for somebody like you, but thanks for playing.
Comic contest.
One of 6.7 K-Rock.
Come
Sorry.
On. How are you going to come at me like that again?
Sorry.
What's up? Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, thanks again for holding down the fort where we're gone. I'm sure it's the Kevin and Bean Show you've always dreamed of, with more Ralph and less Kevin and less Bean.
No, it's not good.
Sorry, we're laughing at Bean.
Oh, man.
And his vacation
It's hard to do the Showbiz Beat by myself. I mean, Omar was kind enough. He would step in. Because I had to talk to Beermuck, and that just was not going to happen.
No, that's no good.
So Omar would come in, and I would do the Showbiz Beat. But the thing is, when you guys aren't here interrupting me, I have a lot more stories I have to cover.
Right.
It's exhausting. It's a lot of work. I have to talk, you know, about a ton of news.
But when we're here, I got two stories.
It's much easier, actually. So
how could you not fire Beermuck while we were gone, by the way?
Trust
that was the
me,
one
I
thing I thought we agreed on, was
I
that he
tried.
Was going to be gone.
It was nuts.
Terrible way to come back for the second half of the year with Beer Mug still working here.
I hear you. What do you want from me? I tried.
Else on your side, B.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I have some tickets to give away after that Comic-Con debacle.
Were we being punked?
Wow, that was brutal.
I'm not kidding. I mean, how does someone not know the Amazing Spider-Man from this weekend? How does somebody not know the Avengers?
We got to come up with a better screening process.
That was the easiest game
we've
ever done.
These are the hardest things to get in the world,
right.
These tickets.
Yeah.
These Comic-Con tickets are just hen's teeth. And to try to just give them away to people who have no idea was just killing me. It was brutal.
Yeah, you'd go down there waving $1,000 bills around and wouldn't be able to buy a pass like this. And we're giving them away to yahoos.
I've got tickets that are also highly sought after. These are advanced screening tickets for The Dark Knight Rises.
Yay!
The end of the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy is in theaters everywhere Friday, July the 20th. We're having a special K-Rock advanced screening on Wednesday, July the 18th. If you'd like to go, I'm not going to just hand them out because I got such a bitter taste in my mouth after that last segment. So what I'm going to do is ask a little trivia question here. It's pretty simple, but this will weed out the yahoos from the true Batman fans. All you need to tell me is Alfred, of course, is Batman's trusted confidant and manservant, his butler, Alfred.
Yes.
That is correct. True. Yes, that is true. Just give me Alfred's last name. I just need Alfred's last name. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through with Alfred's last name will get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises. Got to figure out a better way to give away those Comic-Con tickets
tomorrow.
I don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be better. More comic book movie news. The Amazing Spider-Man, number one at the box office this weekend, $65 million. As we look at the top 10 movies at the box office, Ted came in at number 2, $32.6 million.
That's pretty strong.
That is pretty strong. If it wasn't for Spider-Man, I think Ted would still be at the top of the heap when it comes to movies. It was the number 1 movie last week and number 2 this week. Brave was 3rd. Savages, the new Oliver Stone movie, was 4th. Magic Mike was 5th. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection was 6th. Madagascar 3, Katy Perry's Part of Me, Moonrise Kingdom, and To Rome with Love, rounding out the top 10. at the box office.
Does Tyler Perry come out with a movie a month?
He does, yes, yeah.
It really seems like that.
You know what he does? I read a book about his technique, which I thought was fascinating, is he takes the same film and then just edits the scene in different orders. And he dubs in a new soundtrack, new dialogue. So it's really the same film. It's just, you never know what's going to happen. He just throws it in a blender and you don't know what's going to come out.
But America is starting to turn on these Tyler Perry Madea movies, right?
They seem to be getting a little wary.
Right.
And staying away, which is good news for everyone who likes movies. The Kardashians are breeding again. Kourtney gave birth to her second child, her second Disick, early Sunday at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. She and Scott Disick already have a son named Mason, who's not a good-looking kid, by the way.
Really?
Not, I don't know what's going on, but it's not a good match. It's not a genetic pattern that you would want to see replicated. Penelope Scotland Disick is the name of the baby girl they had Sunday. 7 pounds, 14 ounces, $14 million. She came out with money, actually, in her hands when she came out.
That's nice.
So I think it was my friend Jensen who tweeted that she's already booked at Tao, the nightclub, making an appearance this weekend. They're paying her to show up. So Charlie Sheen's new show, Anger Management, may be in danger already. The first episode had nearly 5 million viewers tune in to watch Charlie Sheen's return to television. The second episode was down by 40%. In terms of the audience turnout, so FX concerned, they may be losing their crowd. But
damn,
we'll have to wait and see whether Charlie's winning or not. I don't know if you guys were on vacation, but his personal assistant was found dead last week.
Really?
Oh no!
Yeah, with a bottle of alcohol and some pain medication next to him. It looks like an apparent overdose. So difficult times in Charlie Sheen's life these days.
Probably the same time in Charlie Sheen's these days.
It's not winning. Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's three daughters have a whole lot of drama going on. 18-year-old Tallulah has been dealing with the fact that someone's been shopping around topless photos of her to the tabloids. Scout is fighting charges that she was drinking beer while underage in New York. And now rumor... she's got troubles. Well, all three of them have troubles because they're named Tallulah, Scout, and Rumor.
That doesn't help.
But now Rumor is upset because her dog has gone missing. I was trying to find her puppy, Indy Blue. Apparently went missing a few days ago. She's desperately trying to find her dog. So if you know where her dog is, let her know. Or if you have topless pictures of her dog, Weekly Magazine would like to publish them.
I'm not sure that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. And this makes me happy. You ever remember the old TV series Happy Days? Kevin, even you had to watch Happy Days back in the day.
I watched a couple times.
Fonzie and Richie and Potsy. The cast of Happy Days had sued CBS and Paramount over their likenesses being used without their permission.
But only the cast that has not had a career since then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, only the cast that has no money.
Ron Howard and Henry Winkler, those guys, they were fine with
Ron
it.
Ron Henry were not part of this particular lawsuit, but Potsy and Mrs. C and Ralph Mouth and
Joni.
Tom Bosley's widow, they all got together and sued. They should be getting royalties on stuff like, the Happy Days slot machine in casinos, for example, has their faces all over the front of it, but they never got paid for that.
Well, that seems fair.
The re-release of the DVDs on the covers of the DVDs and stuff, they've got all their pictures reproduced or something. They never got paid for any of that stuff. So they took their case to court, and apparently Daily Variety said the suit has been settled. No one is talking about how much they got. The original claim was for $10 million to be split amongst all the people who were suing. Apparently, it's somewhere near that. No one's talking about it, but they are getting a hand. They are getting paid, and so everyone's going to walk away with a little cash. So it's nice to see this people make a little money. Because I think, I'm not kidding, I think Joni just had her house foreclosed on.
Really?
I think she's living in a trailer.
Oh,
yeah.
It's rough.
With her husband's mom or something like that. So I hope she got a couple bucks because...
that seems rough.
Because Joni may love Chachi. But the IRS does not love Joni.
Joni has aged 25 years in the last five, too, by the way.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brian Dennehy is 74 years old today. Actor Chris Cooper celebrates his 61st. Jimmy Smits is 57, and Tom Hanks is 56. Good day to be born if you're an actor. Courtney Love is 48 years old. Jack White is 37. Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse is 37. Dan Estrin of Hoobastank turns 36. And also 36 today is Fred Savage, who was, of course, on The Wonder Years for many seasons. He's now a popular and successful television director. He is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yes, Ralph, we do have a winner.
Oh, do we have a winner? My trivia question?
Yes, we do.
Julian.
Yes.
Julian, I need Alfred's last name.
Pennyworth.
Pennyworth is correct,
yeah!
sir.
Thank you.
Hold on. We're going to give all the details, but you're going to see the advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises before anybody else on the 18th.
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Thank you. Julian, also congratulations to Tom. He also had the correct answer. Alfred Pennyworth. Sounds like a British butler, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Congratulations to everybody. I have more tickets to give away tomorrow for The Dark Knight Rises. Come on back for the Showbiz Beat.
We also have more tickets tomorrow for Comic-Con. We're going to figure out a harder way. A different way. What to say because a that was the easiest way possible.
Yeah.
So we got your Comic-Con tickets tomorrow. We have John Bones Jones in the studio, who's the light heavyweight champion of the world in the UFC.
And Beer Mug, you can take him, right?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening.
The Amazing Spider-Man director will be in studio. Mark Webb will be in studio to talk about that movie, which is pretty cool. And comedian Greg Proops also in the show on the show tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Welcome back.
Welcome back to us.